another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, indeedy, deedy, deed. Well, let's see. Joel McHale in today. Always good. The head writer from The Sopranos, Terrence Winter, will be in here. Now, you think about it, you want to talk to all the stars all the time, but on a show like The Sopranos, I'd really like to talk to the head writer.
The guy that makes the stars talk.
Yeah, and they make them talk in all the shows, but for some reason, this seems a little more interesting than your average sitcom for some reason.
Oh, yeah.
And I do feel like it's such an ensemble cast that outside of Gandolfini, I guess I feel like you could almost replace almost anyone on the show. Like, I didn't really even know any of the actors or few of the actors.
Right.
You know, some of the people were familiar.
You recognize.
Yeah,
right.
But it's not like the kids or the wife or, you know, I'm sure his wife, Tony Soprano's wife, had been kicking around for 30 years.
Sure.
But it's not like I was a big fan of hers or knew her work or I couldn't tell you one thing she did before this. So, to me, the writer, yes, Brian, you can name 15 things she did before.
No,
I was like one in two.
I did the research for Terrence Winter yesterday, and he wrote not only the most recent episode where AJ tried to kill himself, but he wrote the episode, remember the one where the Russian escaped in the woods, in the snow?
Oh,
he wrote
the one
where Adriana was shot. Excuse me, also the one where Johnny Sack died of cancer. He had written all the big episodes of the show.
Well, we will speak to him a little bit later on. Oh, man, this is exciting. Another installment of Gay Walking.
Yay!
Pre-op, board-op, Bill, went out, hit the streets, talk to the gays, and we'll try to figure out the answers for cash money. And, many other things coming up as well. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Kroll, and happy birthday Sunday.
Well, thank you, but that's not till Sunday. And good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
I can tell by that we don't want to focus on it. I know a guy doesn't love his birthday when I see one.
We can focus on it. But I don't mind it, but I have this sort of, I don't know, it's just, you guys tell me, I'm sort of a work Scrooge in that, there's something happened in this country probably 15 or 20 years ago where work had to become a sort of place of where you met friends, where you had relationships. A lot of politics, not so much work. I mean, I feel like this country, work used to just be work. It was just work. It was just all about work.
Right.
And then it became about, well, this guy's not so good, but him and the boss are really tight because they go out karaoke singing. That's Jack and Leo. Every Friday night. Or this person is a great guy, or this woman over here is kind of the ice princess. She's very cold and aloof and keeps to herself. If you keep to yourself, do your work, and knock it out of the park, so be it. I mean, that's... I don't encourage it. I don't encourage a cold workplace where people don't feel like other people care about them or like them or whatever. But there's you work in a big place, like when I was over at Jimmy Kimmel Live, there's 200 people there. Somebody's having a birthday every day, and something must be made of it. You know, these are adults bringing out sheet cakes and singing and blowing and stopping the work and all that kind of stuff. And my feeling is if your birthday falls on a weekday and somebody sees fit to bring in some cake, that just makes them a nice person. But if it's a weekend... 2 days, 2 out of every 7 years, you're going to lose. Your birthday is going to land. You're going to land on now. My birthday's on a Sunday, so if I hang out for the next 5 years, I'll have a pretty good run.
Yep.
The time to quit would be at the end of that 5 years after I load up on free cookies and kudos. Right. Oh, definitely. Absolutely.
That's weird.
Hey, Teresa, if you don't think I did, you're not only you're lying to yourself, you're lying to me.
Say, I thought you were going a totally different direction. I was thinking, remember the day, like, I can only think of Dick Van Dyke, when he'd have the boss over
and the wife would have to flip out and
panic.
You'd train the children how to behave when he gets there to show them what a good human being you are.
Every
blah, blah, blah.
Third episode of every sitcom made in the 60s was somehow the boss is going to come over and he's going to see one of your kid's socks in the entry hall. And he's going to be like, Stevens,
demotion.
You're fired.
Right. Nowadays, if I came home and found Jack Silver in my house, passed out drunk on the floor, yes. I would just step over him, go about
That's
my business.
That's Tuesday.
You're naked.
But, I mean, the workplace now is, I mean, we all get our job done. It's very important. But it's also our play place. Like, I know all those guys out there well enough to go do stuff with them.
Yeah, no.
And I don't think he used to be that way.
No, it didn't. It was somehow somebody decided that, you know, when you went to school, that's where you learned and socialized. And then maybe you went to college, and that's when you learned and socialized. And then you go to work, and you just work, but no, you don't socialize.
Right, socialize your neighborhood and whose lawn's better and that weird crap.
Somebody figured out that, well, if you're going to be somewhere for 40 or 50 hours a week, you may as well make friends and have a good time because you don't have a chance or time to see people outside of the workplace. And I can dig it. But at a certain point, I feel like maybe in some instances, it went too far. Like, there's always that one chick at the workplace who's moody, who's going through a breakup. You have to, T. You have to. Now, I'm not really thinking of you.
Actually, I'm thinking of me.
We have to kind of, you know, there's the people you have to deal with them at work. Like, hey, what's the matter with Shelly? She's going through.
Do a little something.
Okay, well, but I have some stuff I need her to collate.
Not today.
Not a good day.
Not the colon day.
She's here, but she's not here. She's taking a me day.
She's
having a very rough time with her colon and her husband. And so there's a lot of that spilling in, a lot of crying, a lot. Then there's upset feelings. Hey, you threw a birthday party for the guy in the next cubicle. Now it's my birthday, and I don't, it's like, you're 41. These are essentially strangers you met 9 months ago. How about you not put so much pressure on them?
Yeah, but that's the part I find really weird. Like, if I did something with T or with you or with Brian, Dawson might get mad at me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you mean you didn't call me?
Well, that's the other part, too. So now it's on. Now you're socializing.
Right. Yeah.
Now you're hanging out with people. You're inviting them over to the barbecue. But where does it stop? So you're having a little get together and you invite Brian and you invite Angie and you invite all the people. Oh, but you didn't invite Gay Board Op Bill or you didn't invite Kyle. Or you
Not
didn't
a
invite
chance,
Ray.
Buddy.
Now they get together. And they think, okay, now they have their own little club. Their club is we didn't get invited club, so now they're going to do something, and you're not going to get invited. I'm just saying, in general, and maybe not just work. This is what it is. This is what I've stumbled onto.
I saw it happen.
People, in general, taking things too personally that aren't personal. It's work. It's probably That's not right. personal. You know what I mean? It's fill in the blank. It's anything but a personal relationship. People getting their feelings hurt at the supermarket. You know, and people getting their feelings hurt at work. People, a lot of people getting their feelings hurt, a lot of upset. You having to apologize to strangers, you know. In general, and also,
so used to that. Having to say I'm sorry, I'm so used to that.
Also guys, too, where it used to be, like, I was having, I had this, we were talking about it the other day, too, and I talked to Dr. Drew about it the other day when we were just yapping to each other a couple days ago. Guys hanging on to adolescence, got everybody wanting to feel younger and look younger, but now they're acting younger. Guys in their 40s dressing like they're in their 20s and getting upset. I mean, I talk to guys that are in their early 40s and late 30s, and it's like, what's the problem, Kevin? I'm PO to Tony. What's the deal? Well, we're in a rotisserie baseball league, and we're in a fairy tale football league, and we had our fairy tale draft last week. And this guy shows up 10 minutes late after we begin the draft, and he says we have to start the draft over. because he was late. Right. And I said it clearly stipulates that we start at 8 p.m. Not only that, he was supposed to bring an ambrosia salad. He didn't. There were tears.
Do you know any straight people?
Yeah, these are straight
know, yeah.
guys yeah. who are in their late 30s, early 40s, but they're wearing flip-flops and cargo shorts, and they're practically at the point of tears, talking about other males that are in their early 40s, about fairy tale football picks, about some sort of hypothetical league that they're in, picking players that don't know they're born.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
They're going like, they're talking about we when they're talking about the New England Patriots. They say we had a good draft this year. We. And then they also say we when they're talking about their fairy tale football team. Next thing you know, they're playing video games. And it's like, hey, dude, you're 43. Right.
Yeah.
And I know guys locked in their room with the video thing. I mean,
what did Dr. Lewis say about this?
You have two kids.
Right. Grow up.
Grow up. Look, I understand everyone wants to look like they're perpetually 28 these days. Nobody wants to look old because we've realized that's the old, you know, you talk about being black or Asian or Hispanic or gay or overweight. Yes, we discriminate, but old? You're effed.
Oh, man.
I mean, you want to talk about discrimination. That's where it really goes on. So what do? You go down to Old Navy. You stock up on fleecy junk. And then you argue over rotisserie baseball. And you'll be forever 17.
Right.
I used to worry that I hadn't, you know, I don't have friends outside work. You know, I have never had a guest to my house. Except maybe now that I think about it, you and that date.
Yeah.
There was my guest ever. Because I don't want them. Whose ever guess they are, they're fine with me. I just don't want responsibility for them. But now that I think about it, maybe I'm lucky. Because you're my whole group.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's plenty. We do enough here. Who needs that hassle at home?
Well, it just depends how you're constructed. But I think I realized what the problem is. About the time guys stop smoking pipes is where that's where we turn.
Yeah.
Because My friends' dads were like smoking pipes, and they were wearing leather shoes with laces in them and cardigan Tassels. Sweaters, and they had pomade in their hair, and they were just dad. Dad wouldn't engage. Dad wouldn't wear baggy clothes with 70 pockets on it and engage in this kind of frivolous conversation about fairy tale baseball or football. He didn't collect things or play video games online. He didn't sit around and write like snarky emails on a blog. You know, these guys will do this. These guys will watch their favorite team. Then their team will lose. Then they'll get in an argument over bad officiating. Then they'll spend the next 3 months going back and forth with some guy who lives in the hometown of the team that won, firing off vitriolic emails. Well, you think you're so smart. You're 40-something years old. You have three kids and a mortgage.
Play with them.
Play with the kids.
And to your point, the next generation of dads ahead of us, I'd say most people, when they call home, when their dad gets on the phone, they'd say, put mom on the phone. Like, you don't have a chat with your dad on the phone.
No, I know. Where's your father? He's doing something with the sprinklers.
Right.
What's the matter? Oh, they're on the fritz.
Well, my dad answers, I freak out immediately.
that was the dad of yesteryear before the gender started merging.
Right, didn't even want to talk. Hold on. Your mom was the ambassador at the dad embassy.
Right.
She's like, your father says, hold on.
And you don't even, now that I think about it, you're right, except mostly you don't even have to ask for mom. Dad says, hello?
Yeah, here she is.
Hold on.
You hope he doesn't answer because it's going to be awkward.
Then every once in a while, it'd be like this, you know, so you're talking to your mom and there's that, hold on, sweetie. Yeah. Okay. You're putting air in your tires, right, sweetie?
Yes.
You have air in your tires? You're not putting concrete or placenta?
Yes, air in the tires.
Or anything, you're putting air in your tires? Yes, sweetie, she's, okay. No, don't. You don't have to be condescending. Okay. And if you're putting, your father wants to know, you're putting oil in the tires and in the car, sweetie? No. I said, okay, oil in the engine then? Okay. Oh, your dad also wants me to talk to you about, like, the dad would just stand there.
Yeah.
Probably using semaphore, holding flags up like he's on a carrier deck.
Right.
He's doing the thing that says air in the tire and oil in the crankcase. That's right. Once you hit 40, you weren't even supposed to talk anymore as a guy, much less hop on the computer and blabber.
Right.
But gossip.
Feet up on an ottoman.
Guys.
Which used to be an empire. And right. Now it's something you put your feet on.
Guys gossip like schoolgirls, too, now.
Oh. Does.
Which I sometimes like. I do sometimes like that.
I love gossiping.
Jake has a theory here. Jake? Oh,
Jake's gay, by the way. Did anybody tell you?
Hey,
Jake.
How you guys doing?
Yeah, Danny, don't gossip.
He's about to be my girlfriend.
Hi, Jake. Good morning.
Let him go.
Morning.
Morning,
buddy. How you doing? I was thinking about what you guys were saying earlier about all this birthday cake and all the socializing and the way that the workplace has changed. I think it's a byproduct of women's lib. I think it's when women came into the workplace, that's when the workplace. Yeah,
all right. Interesting. Okay, very interesting because
right.
not an indictment, but guys don't bake cookies.
Yeah,
I have a huge vat of cookies here that was baked by
me.
Oh, Teresa.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, sweetheart.
You're welcome.
And by the way, I got a bottle. I got a bottle of booze here. I got some cookies over there. I'm flattered and honored that you brought this. That you thought to bring this in for me. And so I don't want this conversation to denigrate the sanctity of this box of very small cookies.
I know. I made them a little
they're,
small.
They're cute and they're petite.
Yeah,
they're bite size for a parakeet. The point is, no, this is a wonderful gift. You're a better person than I am, and I very much appreciate it. But guys don't bake cookies for other guys.
Right.
Yeah.
So when...
And those are only half for you anyway.
When's... who else get them?
Whoever it is that's listening right now that's really impressed that she can bake, too.
Oh, Angie?
Well, there's a guy in the world. Remember our show yesterday with the
yes.
guy? Well, now we know. Oh, and she cooks.
Oh, your man.
Ulterior
that's
motives.
Right.
I don't think you caught it up front.
I'll tell you the truth. It was a kind of a therapeutic baking last night I was baking into the night.
I taste the salty tears.
There are certain expressions, one of which is, and she cooks too.
I don't cook.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, right.
I just
right.
bake.
Right. I bake with love. And when I say that, I mean, I use my stuff as shortening. That's what that's I know that sounds gross, but
not
that's when I say bake with love. That's what I mean.
Not a
so
metaphor.
My point is we're running late for break as per usual. Guys buy guys a bottle of scotch and they punch him in the arm and they do this. Hey, Bert, it's your birthday. Here's a bottle of Cutty Sark. Fantastic. How old are you? 42. Fantastic. All right. I need to see you in my office right now because I want to go over to that. I want to go to Collins account. That's how it works. And then women entered, and that's what it's like. Guys live in a bachelor pad. Three guys live alone. It's top ramen. It's junk everywhere. So then a woman moves in, and they clean it up
a
little.
We improved the workplace. I would argue, go look at the women's bathroom, and then look at your people's bathroom.
I agree. This is mostly an observation, not a criticism. All right, we'll take ourselves a break. When we come back, let's see... We wanted to do something to, an excuse really to talk to you guys, but we also thought it'd be interesting, this sort of, naughty neighbor. We talked about it a little bit yesterday, but we
plus
decided
a little
to switch gears.
And we decided at least Teresa and I totally like it.
Yeah. I want to know about, I'll tell you guys about, my neighbors. You can tell me about yours, but what if you caught them doing? What if they caught you doing? You know what I mean? Ever peeked over the fence, saw him doing something.
And the Joneses, the normal neighbor.
Right.
And I mean, not necessarily, I don't know all your neighbors, but in my naughty neighbor case, totally normal family that then flips the switch and does something so bizarre every night.
Well, also, with more people living on top of each other,
right.
I mean, back in the day, you had yourself a 50-acre farm. Nobody could see what the hell was going on over there. Now, everyone's in a condo. You're literally living on top of each other. Believe me, when someone is having a little spirited lovemaking in the bedroom underneath yours at 2 a.m., oh, yes, you know what's going on.
Right. Because they barely qualify. If there's a cat and Jello involved,
right.
Now they're your naughty neighbor.
866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. Your stories of either being busted, caught, what have you, or you catching your neighbor next.
Here's what's coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
Check it, peeps! Today we got Sopranos writer and producer Terrence Winter. From Ease the Soup, Joel McHale. We'll do a round of gay walking. The return of Christian the Teenage Comedian. And breaking news. Teresa's ex-boyfriend sends her another text message. Does he have a new girlfriend? Are they getting back together? Who gives a shit? As long as she cries on the air. That's Radio Gold, peeps. Beep.
Thank you, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we're talking about naughty neighbors. What have your neighbors spotted you doing? What have you spotted your neighbors doing? I have rolled the dice 5-8 times in the neighbor department, and it has come up snake eyes. Snake eyes. My first house up in the Hollywood Hills there had a, well, one set of neighbors lived directly across the street, but a very narrow hill street, which meant they were about 12 feet away from your house.
Right.
First, as I was moving in, just middle of the week, middle of the day, about Wednesday at 2 in the afternoon, they invited me over for a pop, which was like, I like boozing, but I sort of like to be the biggest boozer in the house. You know what I mean? I like to be the guy going, eh, it's Friday. Let's whip up the blender and get some margaritas going. And I want the people next to me going, eh, well, really, it's just noon. And me going, so what? By the time they're done, it'll be one. And they go, eh, what the hell? Not the person trying to, you know, funnel booze into my mouth. Hard liquor, by the way, just sort of the middle of the day, middle of the week. And then,
I'm sorry.
Then we had to go sift through their many cats. They had about 50 cats to get to the Star Trek room.
Perfect. This is the neighbor.
Then I'm standing there. Everyone's reeking of booze, including myself, and the six-year-old woman is saying, that is the lute that Spock played in the third, whatever, looks like a little mandolin from space.
Oh, my God, I remember it.
They only made two of them. I like when they do the math for you. They only made two of them. This is one of the two. Yeah, no ass. I'm only looking at one of them. What's your answer going to be? This is three of them?
How many does that leave? I'm confused.
I don't know what
happened.
Two,
and that was one?
This is one of the two?
Fantastic.
Right. So I was just sitting there thinking, well, we'll never have to talk again because I'm in the Star Trek room. And that was the neighbor I liked the most. Don't get me started on the Israeli sea that lived right next to me. Now in my house.
Cultural difference or a real sea?
C, capital C.
Oh, wow.
Capital C.
I see you next Tuesday.
Oh, I wanted to kill her and her son. Now I got one guy who I call the Whistler because at any given time you can hear crazy whistling coming from his backyard, depending on what he's doing out there, and not a tune you recognize. It's not... she'll be coming around the mountain when she comes. Just weird, crazy, erratic whistling. And then,
what was he doing? Erratic whistling, and it flipped me out.
And then my other neighbor, the old coot who lives in the most dilapidated house, not only on my street, but on the hill, who constantly calls building and safety because the hedge between us gets too high, even after I kindly explain to him, all he has to do is tell me or my gardener we can trim it. He just calls building and safety. And then when
he... Don't go into too much detail about him, because I have offered to kill him for you.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
I'm serious.
Yeah.
I asked Adam how he handles things like that, and he told me very calmly, I said, I'll put an end to this guy right now for you. So don't go too far in case something happens to him.
I just hope his house catches on fire. And it actually did.
And
I was so happy. Oh, this guy's horrible. And then when he's checking the boxes that building and safety gives you, they give you like a little pant thing you can say. He also likes to check unsanitary living conditions as well, even though his house...
For you?
His house is a shotgun shack with broken windows and peeling paint, and my house looks like an amusement park. He likes to do that. And I have to deal with the letters from the city and the compliances and the meeting with the city officials and all that because this old F has nothing left to live for except for to F with me about a hedge. So it'd be nice if he just died in his sleep. But those are my neighbors, everyone. Now,
I thought he didn't get him anything for his birthday. Now I know just what to get him.
That's right. A hunting rifle with a scope. I don't care about the disputes you're having with your neighbors unless they involve nudity.
Right.
Or something weird. I want to know the weird stuff. I want to know what you've seen, because people are living on top of each other, and we got ears and eyeballs. Let's see. Caught neighbors doing a line of blow. That's good. Homemade porn.
Oh,
I like this one. Yeah. Now we're talking.
Catherine?
Yes. Hi.
What's going on? What happened with you?
Well, I grew up in Indianapolis, and I used to babysit for the people next door. And they had two great little boys. One little boy, about five, says one day, "Hey, you want to see some pictures of my mommy?"
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Sure." And so he runs upstairs, and he comes downstairs with a shoebox. And so I open the shoebox, and it's just filled with Polaroids of his mom having sex with a lot of different guys.
Different guys.
Different guys.
Not just daddy.
Exactly. And then there's a little booklet in the box, and the booklet says Indiana Swingers. And there's a little page that's dove-eared there, or dog-eared, and open it up, and sure enough, their gig is Dad likes to watch, and Mom has sex with everybody else. When I was about 30, I said to my mom one day, I said, "Hey, do you remember the Boyds that used to live next door to us?"
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, she says, "Yeah." I said, "You know," and I told her this story. She's like, "Yeah, we knew about them." which also kind of freaked me out.
Yeah, and this is also one of those things where every retarded couple that gets in the swinging says the kids don't know about it or doesn't affect.
They always
do that. How dare you? I love my children. Believe me, kids get into stuff. They know. And even if they don't find the weirdo box of Polaroids, and look, everybody, there's no reason to open a shoebox unless there's shoes in it. Because you open that shoe, because once the shoes leave, the weirdness enters. There's nothing that ever gets put back. There's no box that starts off more innocuous than a shoebox, but ends up with
Pandora's box.
Yeah. Right. Severed hands, weird porn, drugs.
Letters you're hiding.
I don't even like to open my own shoebox, much less somebody. I would never open one of my parents' shoeboxes unless it was still sealed and I knew there were shoes in it.
Or you were looking.
You know, yes, but then...
Because curiosity would take over for me. Right, I want to know.
But you'd be looking for some weed out of Mom's stash and find a vibrator and clutch your heart and fall down your eyes.
What could be worse than seeing naked pictures of your mom and strange men?
There's nothing more... Has this ever happened to you, though?
Okay.
Is there any... Is there anything more disappointing than this? Remember when you'd go buy shoes and you'd wear them out and you'd throw your old soiled shoes into the shoebox? Like if you had some old crappy tennis shoes, you walked into the place, they'd throw them in. Well, every once in a while, that shoebox, for some reason, don't take that shoebox home. You don't need your crappy shoes that you decided you couldn't wear anymore back at your house. But every once in a while, I'd slide that thing back up on the shelf, and then 2 years later, sort of forget about it, and then look up and go, "Oh, what the hell's in a K-Swiss? What, I got some new?" And then open it up, and it's my grubby, crappy, smelly sneakers from 2 years ago, and I'm disappointed. All right, Catherine? Uh-oh. Did she hang up? She's there.
No, I'm here.
Were the people weird other than the swinging part of their life?
No, that was the thing that was kind of amazing about it, is the guy was the straightest guy ever. The only thing that was weird about them, which maybe this does make them weird, their apartment was completely white, meaning rugs, walls, furniture.
Mm-hmm.
There were,
what year?
Were coffee table. Oh, I'm old, so it was like in the 70s.
Yeah, that's not that weird.
They had the silver Christmas tree, but when you had kids, it was like the coldest.
Yeah.
Nothing was ever out of order. There was never a toy in any place. So that was weird.
I wonder what those kids are up to today.
Yeah, I would not like to know.
Yes, they're running their own daycare center out of their home.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I don't trust anyone who runs anything out of their home.
What do you mean?
If people do that. I'm a psychic, but I work out of my house. Yeah. I do daycare, but I work out of my living room.
If you work out of your house, you don't work. That's
right.
You don't have a job.
I think you do need to leave your house to work. Let's see. Found neighbor dead in front yard.
Yes.
All right.
It's not exactly naughty neighbor, but
Melinda.
I like it. If it was necrophilia neighbor, this would rock.
Yes.
Hi, Melinda.
Hi, how are you?
What's happening, my dear? What happened?
I had some neighbors that were in their 80s, 90s, and he was got water in the front yard, and he's laying in the yard. And I went over and I asked the neighbor lady, she's staying on the front porch. I said, is he okay? And she said, no, he's dead. Like, no big deal. He's just dead. So I called 911 and...
Well, the woman who knew he was dead didn't call 911 first?
No, she was like 85.
Let him finish watering.
Yeah.
And then he's got to mow the lawn, and then we'll call 911.
It seems like he dying.
Like, he's dead, no big deal. And
I'm kind of with
the
you.
The 911 operator wanted me to go do CPR, and I was all, no. He's like 90. He's in a puddle of water. He's
that
cold.
Ship has sailed. Why yeah, should yeah. I bother?
No, when a young, attractive, hot guy dies in, let's say, swim trunks,
right.
Then you go perform CPR. Right. But if some old guy dies, come on.
In yeah. swim trunks.
That's how it is.
Forget it.
No CPR below a 7.5 or an 8.
I'm just wondering if you're dead. Is it 911? What's the emergency?
Yeah.
Came out of the yard.
Yeah. I guess so. We made a huge, thank you, Melinda. We made, and I say we as a society, we made a huge mistake giving 911 as the catch-all phone number for cat right. in a tree
right.
or homicidal maniac mm-hmm. wielding an axe in my house now. That's the problem.
I actually don't do it. I call up and ask for the non-emergency number and then dial it.
Well, it's out there. There are cities that have like 511.
Yeah, we have 311.
We have 311.
What's that?
It's city services. That's like our you need graffiti removed.
But it's the non-emergency number, except right. for we make no attempt to let the citizens
yeah.
of the
yeah.
city
I didn't know.
To make them.
Really?
Well, the point is Danny's got ears and he's sober and he had no idea. About the 311.
I call 411 and say, what's the non-emergency number right. for the LAPD in this area?
This is caught neighbors doing a line of blow. Or Steve, neighbor pleased Ooh. Himself watching. I'm not
curious
sure
about that.
What he was watching.
Santa Clarita.
Steve?
Yeah?
Your neighbor did what?
So, lived in town home. And it was one of these setups where you had to walk by a couple of rooms to get to the front door. Mm-hmm. Neighbor's paying homage to Martin Lawrence
running around
under some sweat.
He has his hand down yeah. his sweatpants.
There's a lot of code going on there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, oh yeah. So he's
Martin Lawrence was
it to Martin.
Martin Lawrence was jogging around. It's another one of these stories that only Hollywood does. You know, we always talk about where the 23-year-old front man for a band has to go in the hospital for dehydration for 3 days, as right. if 23-year-olds get dehydrated, or as if you can't have a slug of water.
Right, can't drink.
Yeah, a little cotton mouth. Martin Lawrence a few years ago was jogging on a hot day in his sweatsuit
and just
sort of collapsed. And, of course, it wasn't drugs or anything. It was just a warm day, and he was wearing right. a parka and jogging. One could argue you have to be high to get into a hefty bag and
yeah,
jog.
Put on one of those silver suits in right. the valley.
Yeah, you run around in an astronaut outfit. You look like the MTV man in the middle of July, in the middle of the San Fernando Valley. But anyway, he was in his sweatpants, and he had his hand down his sweatpants. And what was he looking at?
So my neighbor's watching Martin. As in watching the TV show Martin.
Oh, he is watching Martin.
It wasn't a metaphor.
Okay, by the way,
literal.
That wasn't our fault.
He said
he walked
homage.
Us right down that street.
Right.
Okay, he was
right.
watching the television show Martin while touching himself?
You got it.
How much does this guy love brothers?
Tisha Campbell.
Now I think about it.
Oh,
she's
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, the show's called Martin, but he's not on the screen the full 22 minutes. Hey, Steve, how do you know what he was watching?
Set up of the room, like I said, so the window right there before the door as I was making my way up to knock there, that TV sits against the far wall.
Mm.
He was just sort of, I guess you could say, posted up against the bed.
Well, Steve, I got to say, as a male and a single guy living in a townhouse, you owe this guy some porn. Here's a guy, I've never met a case, I've never seen an instance where a guy needed porn more than a guy who's pleasuring himself to a 90s sitcom on WB, you know what I mean? I mean, this guy needs some porn, and it's your duty to reach out to him.
How could you have not knocked on his door and just given him some of your dregs?
Yeah, you know what I mean? You know, the stuff, the barely legal you're burnt out on.
Anything.
Girls Gone Wild commercials.
Anything. Yeah, I'm just saying, throw the guy a bone, literally. I've never actually. I don't think I've actually done it to the Girls Gone Wild commercial, but there are certain what I like to call porn kickstarters.
Yeah, right.
They're primers.
Yeah, gateway porn.
Yeah, it's like that. Gateway porn. Like, oh yeah, I got to masturbate. I'm not going to masturbate to this, but this will begin my downward spiral. Yeah.
It's like sitting outside at a restaurant for me. That means I'm smoking. Oh, yeah, we're outside, so I must smoke.
Yeah.
A certain amount of nakedness means I got to do it. It's
you're sitting there watching Spike at 4 in the morning, and all of a sudden you hear the Caribbean music fire up, and you're like, oh, that's right. There you go. I'm so Pavlovian because once in a while there'll be some like travel show in the middle on Sunday at noon. It's like 2 for L.A. We head to the Caribbean and you hear the steel drum and I think, where are the girls? Why is anyone pulling their top off? Because every time I hear the Caribbean music, I think girls are going wild. But yes,
I need the porn guy right now.
This is when you turn your stove on and you hear that little click, 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 the little sparker, little spark pilot thing. It does. That's not the thing that boils the water. That's right. What gets it going. That's why I see that commercial. There's a few things. The Girls Gone Wild commercial. Every once in a while, you'll be watching Entertainment Tonight, and it's like, we hit the beach.
Steel
like,
drums.
Right, and you're like, oh, that's right.
That was the perfect analogy, though. That was really good. The click thing is actually the fire that gets it going.
Right. The tick, tick, tick,
but
tick,
nothing's
tick,
ever going to boil in it.
Not boil a pot of water with that, baby, but it will light the flame.
Yes.
Don't you worry. All right. Let's see. We need to take a break. I'll tell you what. I like this. Let's keep it going. 866-901-ADAM. Your neighbors, you yourself. It's not only what you caught your neighbors doing. Have you been busted? Have you been popped? What have they seen you doing? And when you saw them seeing you do it, that's tough. I'm sure my neighbors have seen things, but I haven't seen them see it.
Yes.
In which case, I don't care. That to me is like, hey, do you know what's in this hot dog? No, I don't.
Nope.
Pass the mustard. I'm fine. We'll take a quick break. We'll finish Naughty Neighbors next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Danny Bonaducci is single again. And Adam Carolla is throwing him a bachelor party.
With shit and guns and fire trucks and hookers and drugs and booze.
May 31st at the Key Club in Hollywood.
All the things that make life worth living for.
Danny Bonaducci's bachelor party.
I'm going to bow this huge girl. You got to see this.
Call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, I think we've hit the jackpot. Because we got a neighbor. We got a guy from Fresno's neighbor caught him pleasuring himself in the pool. We got another one who caught his neighbor making love, if that's possible, to a goat.
Huh.
Possible.
I say that's meaningless sex.
You know what? Love is a verb.
Okay. And saw a neighbor shoot somebody.
Huh.
Wow.
Where to begin? Do you go goat, pool, shoot?
I always go.
How do you usually?
My grandpa used to say you never put the call where the guy's effing the goat ahead of the. I mean, he's an old radio guy.
Yeah.
Way back.
That's a radio rule.
You put the goat before the jerk.
He was back when the microphones had those springs all over them. All right. Let's just start with shoot somebody. I like that one. Wes from Las Vegas. Wes.
What's going on?
What's happening, Brada?
Not a lot of.
So.
All right. Wes.
Yeah, we're usually hoping for coherent but clever. That blindsided us.
Don't
Wes,
let us down.
Yeah. Wes, don't outdo me.
From Las Vegas, what do you got?
Well, when I was about 10 years old, we lived down this apartment complex, and there were these guys that lived next door to us, and I think they were always like running drugs, where they were always into some kind of business.
Mm-hmm.
And one time we were out in like the front of our apartment complex and we were jumping the speed bumps on like our skateboards and skates and whatnot. And we saw this truck from like across the street. He peeled out and like drove up into our apartment complex and like he pulled off to the side of the road and he jumped out of his truck with like a 4x4.
Mm-hmm.
And he started walking up to this group of like Mexican guys, and they were the ones that lived next door to us.
Mm-hmm.
So we started walking up to him and he was yelling at him or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the Mexican guys, we started watching after that, and he just pulled out a gun and fired like 4 shots and shot this dude right in the chest.
Mm-hmm.
And we all just, like, we dipped after that, and then the cops were at their apartment next to ours and stuff. It was crazy.
So the guy, the Mexican guy who was in your apartment building, or one of the groups you knew, shot the guy dead who had the, he shot Joe Don Baker with the 4x4 in the pickup truck right in the chest and killed him.
Yeah.
Walking Flat.
Yeah, I think
the name of that
I'm
movie.
Going with, what's the analogy there? Walking with what?
Yeah, well,
bang, 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 bang. That'd just be so hardcore. You've got a bat. You think you're all tough, and some guy just shoots you in the chest.
Now, did you have to go to court? Were you a witness? Did the guy get busted?
We didn't file out a police report or nothing. We left, and we didn't want anything to do with it after that.
Right. Live and let die. All right, Wes. Well, you got yourself out of there, right?
Yeah, we did. We got out. We left. I don't think that they noticed us or anything.
Well, it's an interesting, thanks for the call. I've said this many times, because I lived for a while in an apartment when I was young. I had friends that lived. I had buddies who lived in apartments where it's just a bunch of single moms, bunch of broken families, bunch of poor kids, bunch of working moms, and a bunch of unsupervised, screwed up kids acting out sexually, inappropriately, and doing drugs. You show me one place where formerly there was a single family home.
Right.
Now there are 50 kids between the ages of 12 and 17, and every one of them has a mom that's out at work. They don't hire nannies. Their dads haven't spoken to them. There's a whole bunch of girls that have daddy issues, and they're all living on top of each other in the same courtyard, essentially.
Right. That's why
that's why I learned the term footprint when we're talking about where a house used to leave a certain footprint and there's 70 people there. Does anybody remember, though, when kind of singles condos opened up?
I think it was
the late 70s, early 80s. They just, you knew in advance this was a place where people went and had sex with their neighbors.
That's where the dads would go.
Right.
Of the divorce. After the divorce, the dads would go to the singles place and start effing the 22-year-old secretary underneath them. But the mom would go to the crappy apartment that took all the kids, and they needed the two-bedroom, and it cost a little more and what have you. And it was Sodom and Gomorrah at some of those North Hollywood apartments, man. I mean, at-risk youth, troubled kids, screwed-up kids with all kinds of issues, all living within 20 feet of each other. Justin?
Yeah, I'm here, Adam.
What did your neighbor catch you doing? And please keep it clean, if you could, in your description.
I'll keep it clean for you.
Mm-hmm.
I was probably 14, 15 years old. I knew everything about the birds and bees, no problem on that one. Was taking a little swim, and the pool jet looked pretty enticing.
Sure.
So,
the siren song of the pool jet beckoned. I've heard that many a time.
So kind of needed to...
Like a mermaid singing.
Needed to relieve myself a little bit, and that's when the elderly next-door neighbor peeked her head over the fence, started questioning what I was doing. She lived next door to me forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I was pretty much mortified, didn't know how to answer. She knew what I was doing. Then she decided to pass it on to my mom.
Oh.
Why? A horrible person.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. She was not a bad person. She's gone now.
Good. I would have celebrated with a one-gun salute. You know what I'm saying? Right over the grave. Body still warm.
Okay.
Fire up the jets.
It was pretty embarrassing.
The witch is dead. Ding dong. Fire up the jets. Well, listen, another topic for another day, but the conversation that people need to have that I would argue is more uncomfortable than the act that they're reporting. Like, if I looked over the fence and saw my neighbor's kid doing that,
right,
I would say, whoa, that's a little uncomfortable. But not nearly as uncomfortable as the conversation I would have with the parent. Just thought, by the way, here's your cordless drill back. Thanks. Is Marge around? Thanks. Good. Hey, your son. You know what I mean? Like, what I would avoid that. Here's how I would avoid that. If I was your neighbor.
Yeah.
And your mother came over to my house and said, I want to know if you've ever seen my son masturbating in the pool. I would say absolutely not. and they would say, you don't understand. He's accused of a heinous crime, and his alibi is masturbating in the pool. Now, if you can vouch for him, I will not judge. And I would just look at my feet. Man. I would look at my feet and say, I wish I could help you, ma'am. I'm sorry.
Well,
that's how much I would avoid this conversation.
Luckily, this will never happen to me. And you know why?
Why?
Because it started with, here's your cordless drill.
Yeah, that's true. That, you need a house. Yeah.
Words you'll never hear.
Yeah, here's a drill back.
Maybe you're a bedazzler. Do they make cordless bedazzlers?
Dude, I bedazzled last night. Oh, I had a big night. I'll tell you later. I had a big night.
We cannot possibly not talk to the goat man.
All right.
I bedazzle because I dig it.
This is, yes, that's right. James. James from Phoenix. James.
Hi, I just want to say, first of all, Adam, Teresa, Danny, love your show. You guys are doing the Lord's work, and I appreciate it.
Thank you, James.
And thanks.
And so I was in high school. We moved into this house, and all the houses in that area had, like, half-acre backyards. Mm-hmm. And one of the neighbors had all these goat pens, and he had goats back there. And one night, I hear this goat, and it sounds like somebody's killing it. And I'm like, what is going on?
Mm-hmm.
Go out in the back, and it's kind of dark, but I can see this guy standing behind the goat doing something that he shouldn't be doing to a goat.
Why?
And the goat, you know, the goat's talking about it, too. And I was just like, whoa.
Here's the whole thing about doing this with a goat.
Liar!
If you ever go to a petting zoo, goats are loud just standing there.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, goats are one of the loudest creatures, are constantly, you know, and that's just you walking into their pen. This would be like having sex with a siren. You know what I mean? I mean, a bullhorn.
It's the whole premise of Silence of the Lambs. They scream.
Right.
You know, they scream.
Isn't it called bleating? I think there's a word for it. That might be
it
sheep.
Is bleat.
Yeah.
It's bleat.
Bleating. Yeah.
So, that would be like braying for sheep.
Yeah.
Right. Interesting. You were how old at the time, James?
I was like 12, 13.
Yeah, that's right. Welcome to the NFL. That's what that is. Welcome to the real world, baby. It's all
such
about
a
Teletubbies.
Lawyer.
Was this in a rural community of some sort?
No, it's in the middle of Phoenix, which was... You know, we're not in farm country.
Now, what
Dude,
do you do?
I've blown some weird stuff in Phoenix.
What do you do?
It was bleeding.
What do you do about that? I mean,
I talk to my neighbor friends. I mean, it's true. The kids all talk about stuff, you know, that the parents don't want anybody to know about. And then all the stories started coming out. I was like, he had done this in front of one of the girl neighbors. He's
right.
Here, you want me to show you? I was like,
okay,
oh, wow.
This is my point, which is, I like the live and let live and don't ask and don't tell. And like I said, I see my neighbor masturbating. I'm not calling the cops. But what if you see one of these things that's one of these tells? You know what I mean? Yeah. He's torturing an animal. He's hurting an animal. He's doing one of these things where if this is what he's up to in his own backyard, what's he doing when he's drunk and on the road? Like, I mean, this guy's killing hookers.
Right.
This guy's molesting kids. You know, when does it become your duty to call 911? When does it, you know, like I said, you know, whenever they do the serial killer thing, it's always the kid tortured animals, right, or the kid did this or the kid did that. When you feel this is like, I'm sure this is not all this guy's up to. And sure enough, because the guy's a sexual deviant, it's not like, oh, he just loves goats. He's passionate about goats. He's an effed up deviant. And
yes, when he shows somebody.
Right. So
now
he invites a little girl over to have a look-see at Mr. Goat. And then later on, he'll do whatever to the little girl.
Right. I think there is a real answer to your question. And that is when you think in your head, it's time.
Right.
When it first occurs to you, that leads to something else that I should call the police about. You should.
I agree. That's us, except for everyone I've lived next to follows their instinct. When the Ace Man stereo is up past 6.5, they're going to call the man.
Right.
And that's their instinct. So, unfortunately, you can't do that. Just follow your heart, because their hearts are black.
Their souls.
Yes. All right. One more. Let's see.
Uri Geller, the psychic.
Yeah, he bent spoons.
He was staring at me, came in my radio show, and he looked at me and goes, he hadn't even said hi, and he goes, oh, my God, you have to quit smoking immediately. And I said, why? Do I have cancer? And he said, I'm looking within you and all I see is black. And I went, oh, that's just my soul.
Yuri. Josh?
Yeah, how you doing?
Josh from San Francisco?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Josh.
Yeah.
They changed the format over there on the station we used to be on in San Francisco.
Yeah, you're on the AM now, 1550.
1550 AM in all the people in the Bay Area can listen to. All right, Josh. So you caught lesbian neighbors having sex?
Yeah, they were going to town in the backyard. It was just blood-curdling scream. And, mm-hmm. I mean, I was 12, so I'm curious, and I go outside and look through the fence. And then right on the patio, just going at it. And it was insane, you know, 12 years old.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, you're digging that. Or were they hot lesbians?
Who cares?
One of them was.
That's okay. Good enough. Focus. Well, close one eye.
Sure. Can't go too far off.
But, yeah, I'm 12 years old, two Rosie O'Donnells doing it, and I'm out of my mind.
Right. And then the question arises, okay, on one hand, they would probably say they just want to do it out on the chaise lounge. On the other hand, why do the scream?
I would say
it's subconsciously you're wanting to do a little exhibition for the neighbors.
They wanted you to see them, for sure.
Yes, whether they're conscious or not, they wanted that.
Sure. I think about that because I...
Thanks, Josh.
I think in some cases I am the naughty neighbor. I'm the most inhibited person you'll ever meet.
You?
I've never karaoke'd in my life. I don't dance socially. I'm very inhibited, but I walk around naked almost all the time. I sit and write at my desk naked. Mm. I don't have curtains. I'm not an exhibitionist, but I sometimes wonder, why don't I? I just don't.
You don't have curtains.
I don't have curtains because I have a Craftsman. And you know how nice the windows look?
Mm-hmm.
The frame?
Mm-hmm.
So in a lot of rooms, I don't have curtains.
Mm-hmm.
And this used to really bug my ex. Like, you would always say, people can see you. There's no one really close. But mm-hmm. when I think about it, sometimes I should probably be a little more careful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just how I'm constructed, but I can't even drive a convertible because I feel weird and exposed, and it's not celebrity. I've always been this way. I feel when I pull up to a red light and I'm in a convertible and the guy next to me staring at me, I feel weird.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like I'm exploited or anything. Right. I just feel sort of vulnerable or strange. I want the limo tint and I barely open the sunroof. So when it comes to the windows, when the light is on and I'm home, the curtains are always closed.
Well, I'm naked guy no matter what and don't care.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Like
weird.
The maid will yell, we have a cleaning lady 3 days a week. And she'll say, can I come in? And I the same thing every time. There's a grown woman, 50 years old or something. Yes, but I'm naked.
It just seems weird to put on clothes when no one else is home.
Sometimes she goes, okay, comes in, gets what she was coming in for, and I'm stark naked. She walks back out, but Gretchen got really mad about that and said, that's not cool.
It's probably not.
She's got 100 kids.
You warned her.
Yeah.
All right. T.
Yes.
The news. What's coming up in it, naked girl?
Well, you'll be very excited. I can't believe I just told you. You'll be very excited about a new public service announcement that's on hitting the airwaves.
Oh,
do we have to click it and take it?
Oh, it is so good. It's from the homophobe from Grey's Anatomy. He's been forced to make a public service announcement. It's great.
Well,
and I'll play that for you. I've got it. And also... important information about designer vaginas.
All right, we'll do that next on the Adam Carolla Show.
And now, the Adam Carolla Show presents Great Moments in Local News.
Two big cruise lines are planning extreme makeovers this year. The hot new video game Wii is being added to Norwegian cruise ships so the kids can play everything from baseball to golf and tennis without even going out on the deck.
Oh, you wouldn't want to do that, would you?
Another great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
It's good stuff.
It's witty banter.
10 years of love line. Never got that kind of reaction out of Dr. Drew.
Really?
No. Don't think I... I never saw my producer, Ann, crack a smile. But Drew probably got a couple of chuckles. It wasn't exactly a laugh fest over there.
I don't know if I could work like that.
You know,
if your job is to be funny and everybody around you isn't laughing every now and again, it implies you're failing.
Yeah, so much so that when Jay Moore did our show some years ago, after about 8 minutes into his 12-minute stand-up routine, which he was doing sitting down on our show, he stopped and looked at me and Drew and he said, why aren't you guys laughing? By the way, if you want to know what kind of blowhard Jay Moore is, he said, why aren't you guys laughing? And I said, well, we're not laughing. I mean, it's not like I'm stifling myself.
Right.
By the way, don't ask somebody why they're breaking up with you. Ugh. It gets ugly.
Right. You don't want the answer.
Then you get this one. Do you really want to know?
No, don't.
Just knock it off at
that
point.
Me.
Right.
And then you know, and you probably know more reasons than she knows.
I just saying, don't ever ask somebody why they're not laughing. Because
you're not funny, man. Well,
what do you think I'm going to say? My tongue was surgically removed earlier in the day.
I have stitches, and I don't want to pop them out.
Yes, please. Right. I just had...
That was good.
I had surgery on my side,
right,
and it's sutured up. And
broken ribs?
And if I laugh, it'll... Right. Okay, T?
God, T can lie fast, though. That was telling.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Too bad you don't lie down in bed fast.
True.
15 dates before you get to first base. T?
Yes.
But walks around naked in front of her many cats.
Yeah.
T, the news.
Teresa
Much
Strasser,
to the chagrin
the number one Jewish news
of her cat collection
on this station right now.
Well, this is an excellent first story.
Mm.
On Tuesday, a 60-year-old woman became the oldest woman to give birth to twins.
Mm-hmm. Teresa Strasser.
60-year-old woman became the oldest woman in the U.S., that is, to give birth to twins. She delivered two boys by C-section, both of whom weighed 4 pounds, 11 ounces. Here, she explains why she made the decision to have more kids at such an advanced age.
I had a strong urge to give and the energy to do something about it. And I have more of an urge now to be a nurturing parent than I did when I was younger. But I guess it's about empowerment.
Mm.
Yeah.
I read through that. She effed up her last batch of kids.
Right.
I guarantee somewhere there's a 33-year-old woman walking
yes.
around heading to therapy. Hey, T, high five on the way out.
So you think she wanted a do-over?
That's what it felt like. When a woman says, I have a lot more nurturing instinct in me than I had in the past, that means...
I never held her. I never said nice hair.
Right. I traded my first kid for a pack of smokes in 1981.
Well, a guy who really needs a do-over is Isaiah Washington. You may remember... There were reports from the set of Grey's Anatomy that he called his co-star T.R. Knight a derogatory term rhyming
the
with maggot.
The new F word. This was okay. And not only did he say, it's ridiculous. He said, I'll just leave out the first letter. He didn't say ags.
Right.
He said agut.
That's right.
You know what's
which
weird?
Which is worse.
Yeah. I teach my kid that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I never even thought of that.
One's
but...
meaner than the other.
Oh, yeah. Agate is worse than
yes,
egg.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Both
it's
are bad.
It's weird that you would teach a child that particular lesson, though.
It's an important lesson.
Most don't, Danny.
you don't?
Well, here's the lesson Isaiah Washington is now teaching all of us through his public service announcement.
Words have power. The power to express love, happiness, and joy. They also have the power to heal. When you use words that demean a person because of their sexual orientation, race, or gender, you send a message of hate, a very powerful message. But we all have the power to demand better for one another and ourselves. We have the power to heal and change the world with the words we use.
Are you kidding?
Oh, no.
That Mo called somebody the F word?
Yes.
That was the gayest thing I ever heard.
You think he sounds gay?
Totally.
Huh. Well, they say the worst homophobes are might be in the closet.
Look, I have had such an impacted assful. These PSAs, these life lesson PSAs,
especially from stars.
I don't want to be nice to your kids or talk to your kids. The retarded platitudes that come from the stars that don't have kids or, by the way, have effed up themselves. You know what I mean? When did it become? Present company aside, but
right.
Just because you spun out on heroin, does that make you a heroin expert now who can explain to the world why you shouldn't do heroin? This guy made these derogatory comments. He's obviously homophobic. He called one of his co-workers an agate, and then he yelled it again over the Golden Globes. This guy has a problem, not me. I don't look at him as a spokesperson for this. I mean, right. I don't want to hear what Charles Manson has to say. I don't want Charles Manson to tell me not to break into houses and kill people just because he was stupid enough to do it. And how does this work? Like, I had a long day planned. First, I was going to urinate in a fire extinguisher, and then I was going to go down to Boys Town and hose down the boys who are leaving the gay bars, and then I was going to tie one up to a fence post and beat him with a Louisville Slugger. But isn't that the guy who plays a doctor on TV who hates the gays? Hold on. Let me hear him out.
Yep. I'm not going to do it now.
You know what?
I'm staying home.
I'm going to go volunteer at the AIDS hospice. I've turned it around because the guy who plays a fake doctor, the guy who hates the gays, evidently, is now turned the corner because his publicist told him to go into rehab and pretend like you turned the corner. Please, everybody.
You can be funny without making fun of someone
else. Thank you, Schwimmer.
No, you can't.
You idiot.
Yeah.
Just look, here's all I'm saying. I've been yelling about this ever since I've been listening to the seatbelt ads, and it all started when I did Loveline for 11 years. We were a national show. Wait a minute, we're national here. Well, either way, we were heavily syndicated national show. I never listened to the commercials because I never heard the commercials. Each station would play their own commercials. Right. I wouldn't even hear the mothership's commercials. All I heard was PSAs. And the reason they just ran PSAs is if somebody didn't have a commercial in Poughkeepsie, they would hear David Schwimmer begging you to talk to your kids or read to your kids or do whatever to your kids. All they do is tell you, don't do this to your kids and then do this to your kids. Don't beat them, talk to them. So I used to start listening to things, and they drove me nuts because they weren't. We have real problems in this society. We have teen pregnancy. We use more energy than the next 10 societies combined, but there's no PSAs about it. We have light bulbs that save 4 times as much electricity as the incandescent light bulbs. We have the miniature fluorescent, the compact fluorescent bulbs, which last 10 years and save thousands of dollars. But do we hear PSAs saying, hey, go to your house and change your bulbs out?
And apologize to the world.
And apologize to the world for using all their goddamn electricity up. We have a huge problem with gas and gas mileage, and we're using all that up. Most cars could get 15 to 20% better gas mileage if people put air in their tires. But do we have a PSA for that? No. We have McGruff telling you to keep an eye on your laptop at the airport because it could get stolen. We have this sort of who cares, neither here nor there
mentality.
BS. Yes, we got the homophobic pretend doctor from the crappy ABC show telling us not to go out and beat the gays tonight. Please spare us your retarded platitudes and give us a piece of goddamn information we could use instead of the condescending talk to your kids.
Do you know what I hate worse than the forced apology that is deserved? That guy should say sorry.
Yes.
When a celebrity is forced to say sorry over something he's not sorry about.
Of course not.
Like, you get drunk and fall down. You don't owe the world an apology because you got drunk and fell down. You're a guy.
You don't owe every drunk an apology or everyone who makes flooring an apology.
Right.
You owe the one guy whose shoes you ruined when you landed on him and vomited.
Right.
That's it. This guy owes an apology to the guy he works with. The rest of it is just a PR campaign so he looks a little bit better. And by the way, I don't know how old Isaiah Washington is, but I'll bet he's in his 40s.
Yeah.
When you reach the age of 43, and you have a problem with the gays, 3 months over at Easy Living in Malibu does not correct that.
Well, it sounds more like trouble in a party.
That's right. That's the one telling you not to go party, not to this, not to that. Look, it's a huge waste of not only everyone's money, the taxpayers' money, but our precious time. Do you realize how important and how powerful this is? If you can reach people, you can enact change.
Right.
Oprah does it all the time. Oprah starts talking about a book for 5 minutes on her show. It sells 10 billion copies, and maybe you help a lot of people because maybe that book reaches people.
Right.
You can talk about Darfur, and the next thing you know, there's humanitarian aid pouring in. It's very powerful.
Totally true.
We have a rule in this country. If you want a license to broadcast, you must give something back to the community. Right. You must give messages that help the community at large. So what do? We get Schwimmer to take 10 seconds off of effing groupies on the set of Friends to tell you to talk to your kids.
Smoking sucks.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Hey, I didn't know it sucked, Donald. Here's the other thing, too. Hadn't heard that one before. Had no idea. What's he saying? Cigarettes are bad for you? Secondhand smoke's a first-rate killer? By the way, Schwimmer, in the sitcom he's famous for, has a child he never sees. He has a kid. Oh, you didn't know he had a kid in Friends?
Oh, yeah,
that's because he never saw him because he didn't talk to his kid. Jesus.
Maybe that's
effing
why they made
Christ.
Him do it. You can be funny without making fun of someone else.
Yeah.
But it's not as fulfilling.
It isn't, and I haven't figured
empty.
Out a way to
it's
do
empty.
It.
Well, we just heard from the Donald, right? One of his
let me say this,
now.
Too. I have tried to get the Ad Council, the retarded bureaucratic pussies that put these stupid campaigns together, on the phone 1,000 times to talk to me on the radio.
Right.
Of course they won't, because they're cowards and they have no product. Pussies. All right, where were we?
Donald Trump.
I mean, look. let me say this.
Please.
When the smoke clears on your life and you have to sit back and break it down.
Right.
How many moments did I spend making love? How many moments did I spend in joyous times with my children or eating a gourmet meal? And then how many PSAs did I hear that A, didn't pertain to me or anyone else? How many minutes? Because I've heard thousands of PSAs now, and it's now turning into months of my life combined. When I'm on my deathbed, I can sit there. The last thought I'm going to have is, how many BS retarded PSAs that I hear about from celebrity hypocrites versus how many backup beepers have I heard from municipal trucks backing up where I didn't have to move? Boy, that'll be a quandary, and that's what I'll go out with.
Is there any happy ending for you?
No.
Okay.
I will lie there thinking of Schwimmer begging me to talk to my kids.
Oh, that paints a
look,
very
it's
vivid
not,
picture.
It's not his fault. He just gets corralled by the retards over at NBC, and they don't give a rat's ass about society.
No, they have to do
it. The FCC says you have to do something for 1 minute a week of programming, and they fulfill it. How about if Schwimmer says, say hi to your kids? I guess that'll do. And there you go, another PSA, and you get your license renewed.
It's funny, but the way people look at you has a lot to do with the way you look at yourself.
Molly Sims.
Be proud of who you are.
Yeah.
You know, I was going to hate myself, but a model told me not to.
Yeah, she vomited, had her nose done, got one boob lifted, and dyed her hair moments after she explained we should all feel beautiful.
Be ourselves.
And we should all think about how we look at ourselves, and that's how other people look at us. Please, with your retarded platitudes, with your stupid models and spray-on tan telling us all to feel better about ourselves, and it's what comes from inside. You haven't eaten a meal in a year, bitch, and you're telling us how to feel? You make your living, your trade is on your looks. That's all. And you, ironically, you, Schwimmer, who has no children, are telling us to talk to our kids. You, Molly Sims, who is a bikini model who did House of Style. You're only here. The only reason you're doing this PSA, the only reason we know your name is because of your outward looks, not what your look. Your insides could be black as coal. You could have the Grinch inside of you, and it doesn't matter. You'd still be working. You are telling us this. It's just, look, it's insulting at a certain point, especially when we have real problems.
Right.
If you saw these PSAs where Molly Sims is telling you to look deep inside, not judge, and a retarded Schwimmer is telling you to talk to your kids, you'd look at this and go, well, there's a society with zero problems. No violence, no pollution, no energy waste, no nothing. Everything, the cars run off love, and every kid's got a PhD from Harvard. Jesus Christ. You sick. You all make me want to puke. All of you.
Well, would it make you feel better? I know we have to go to break.
The answer is no. Whatever you're going to say is not going to make this man feel better.
Thank you.
That's it. I can just
I know
it.
We have to go to break. I'll say this. Trump decided to...
Don't one of your... smoke. It sucks.
He decided to... Do you have him?
Smoking sucks.
And well, by the way, are these PSAs... they're working like a charm, right?
No one smokes now.
Fat girls feel good about themselves because Molly, because a waif spokesperson tell them to get over it.
Right.
I know everyone's talking to their kids. Danny hasn't smoked in years.
Those eggs and bacon with my brain on drugs?
Yeah.
I put down that crack pipe.
Yeah. What about just saying
no? Started whipping up an omelet right then.
Sure, and that stuff never stops working. Secondhand smoke, first-rate killer, sure. We all know the thousands of loved ones have died from secondhand smoke. Close your eyes. Picture all the celebrities, politicians, sports greats, notables, your friends and family, neighbors. Think of all that have been claimed by secondhand smoke. That's right. We're all dying, everybody. Well, talk to your kids before you die of secondhand smoke.
Trump weighs in on the Rosie and Elizabeth feud, which you are going to want to hear. I'll play it for you in our next newscast. And also, I will get to that important news about designer vaginas. But for now, I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. CNN.
Smoking sucks. The air right out of your lungs.
It's good. It's good writing.
Thanks, Tom.
I can't tell you if the writing's worse. I don't know if the delivery is worse or the writing's worse on the PSA.
How should it be delivered?
It should be delivered like this. Do whatever you want with cigarettes and put some goddamn air in your tires. Because my kids want some gas for their SUVs.
I don't know anybody who quit, but the only one I liked was Yul Brynner.
That's right.
Now that I'm dead, you should quit smoking. I didn't quit. You know, even the most extreme examples don't work.
You're a fan of it, but it was ineffective.
Right. Yes, Yul Brynner did a PSA when he was dead, essentially. They knew he was going to die. I always think about the phone call from the agent. Yul, baby doll. I got a gig.
But I'm dying.
I got 3 weeks to live. It's a commercial. What's it for? Pontiac? Oldsmobile? Kellogg? Not exactly. Not exactly.
Well, what's the dialogue? Do I say anything?
Does it pay?
I got a script here. I'm not going to read it to you over the phone. I want you to... we'll punch it up. I want you to have fun with it. I want you to have fun with it. The pay... not a lot of pay. Not a lot of pay.
Wait, I just got over the facts. Hang on. Hi, I'm Yul Brynner. Uh-huh. Now that I'm dead.
It's not going to run till March.
I out of your mind, baby. Now that I'm dead.
Look, Dinah Shore also wants you on Wednesday, but let's focus on this. I will take a quick break. Joel McHale. Oh, that's going to put me in a better mood. Joel McHale from the Soup. E next with his clip.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Tired of being crucified by the press.
I have a question.
From this E! News story.
TV Talk.
A show that has had its fair share of guest stars, including one Danny Bonaducci, who we all know could seriously use some mouthwash.
From E's the Soup, Joel McHale.
The wind van is going to also be a noose around the nuts.
On the Adam Carolla Show.
Joel McHale, favorite time of the week.
Wow.
I know everyone loves to think that I just love the sound of my own nasally drone, but my favorite part of the show in the week is sitting back and cracking wise.
God bless you.
Let Joel McHale, a pro from the Soup on E! Friday nights, 10 o'clock, come in here, do the driving. I'll hop in the back seat with Grandpa. And I'll,
me, by the way.
Once in a while, I'll just, yell, hey, you're missing the turnoff.
And I go, right.
It's what I love about this job. He comes in, does all the work, and I say something funny every now and again and go back to work.
I rely on PAs who look for all these clips, and I take all the glory.
There you go.
See, I pass the buck.
None of us work.
Well, it's time to bask in some more of your glory, Joel.
Ah, God bless. I don't know if you know this. You probably don't because you're not a woman. Teresa, the Dancing with the Stars final, of course, was
Apollo Antonona.
Of course. Seattle's own.
Somebody said it got higher ratings than American Idol. Yeah, possible?
Yeah, that was
the results show.
man, I was going to say some whore.
You heard that it got on higher. The news.
That would have been embarrassing.
It was on your very own show.
This skank told me.
I was at this needle exchange. And this scab-ridden...
It beat out the eyes.
I'm not talking about high-class call girl. I'm talking about Streetwalker told me...
Right. A toothless... Well, one tooth.
Toothless hag told me that it got higher ratings than American
Idol.
Does
she have a huge scar, medical scar, coming down her, into her hair, out of her hairline?
This is hilarious, and I wouldn't want
that
to
That injury
stop,
was caused by penis, yes, and there's a plate in her forehead.
Don't you have a clip? My
God. Yeah, that's who we heard it from. All right. Yeah, it beat American Idol. The Tuesday, the results show for Dancing with the Stars beat American Idol's Tuesday show.
I see. So in a way, but it didn't. Results show against results show Idol won.
Yes.
Okay.
I think a billion people. It was as big as Elvis's Hawaii concert.
You're right.
Farewell.
Right.
Yeah.
It seems mathematically impossible
to beat it.
How can there be that many people? Don't they say that we had 27 bazillion votes?
Well, are they on? Well, oh, you mean Idol? Yeah.
Idol,
you can vote as many
times.
Are
there that many Americans?
It's one.
You can vote an unlimited number of times on Idol, so it's not distinct voters. It's votes that they
tally. Today's teens, their fingers are like spider monkeys. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, first off, I had a rotary phone growing up, probably 20 years longer than everyone else had one because we're the Corollas. But my fingers and brain, I don't, you know, it's like when they say, call 1-800, get job now. And you go, is that the 4? Wait, 4? And then it's please call again. Right. My fingers can't even move fast enough so that the phone doesn't hang up when I'm dialing
one
of them.
Please try your call again later. What is
it? Today's kids are like, right?
Right.
And... they drink coffee. See, we didn't drink coffee. There was no Starbucks when I was 12.
It was almost alcohol. You had to have a certain age before you could drink
coffee. Coffee was booze. Drinking. Like, hey, what do you mean? You don't give your 13-year-old a cup of coffee? What, are you going to give him a cigarette and a highball next? No, you don't do that. Now.
Wait, what does it mean now if in 20 years, what are kids going to be drinking? Because now they're drinking energy drinks.
Right. So the kids.
Until they die.
The kids beaked up on a rock star and a Frappuccino. Plus, he has a little spider monkey fingers. One kid could be dialing in 15,000 times in the course of one show.
If only they would say on Idol once, hey, you know, if you took the same amount of effort, you could vote for a president, perhaps a senator.
Maybe we should get Schwimmer on that PSA. How about you talk to your kids about voting for American Idol as opposed to voting for the president?
Right. That's right.
Or voting on Dancing with the Stars, say.
Right. Yeah, but I feel like Dancing with the Stars audience is a bunch of 35-year-old spinsters or shut-ins.
Right.
No offense.
35.
I didn't see that one coming, Joel. I didn't see it coming. It was out of nowhere.
I'm sorry.
I was going to get hit with
the shrapnel. Toothless needle exchange. No.
How about you play your goddamn clip?
Wow.
Nice. That's the way to go, kiddo.
Sorry. All right. Here's how Dancing with the Stars judges fight.
Mm-hmm. I can never give my critique because Big Gob here will not shut up.
You're talking nonsense.
Okay. Now, here is how they fight. Now, that's just, you know, that's how they titter and tat like that. Mm-hmm. This is how they fight on Celebrity Fit Club.
If he agrees to combat, if you agreed to combat, I'd fight you.
Don't you ever threaten me and wait for cock to spank.
No, first after you said you kick his ass, you say you kick mine. What the fuck you ever think?
Did I say I kick your ass?
Yes, you did. You stood right there, because I'll wear your ass out.
That's a threat.
I don't think nothing of you. Damn right. It's a promise. It's not a promise. It's promise. But you ever in your life ever threaten me, bitch. Now you take that to your porn convention.
That's Tracy Gold and
that was
Tina.
Awesome.
That was Dustin Diamond.
Oh
no.
Yeah, that was not that wasn't Dustin Diamond screaming. That was the coach. That was their drill sergeant yelling at him on the scale.
You don't yell at the man when he's on a scale.
Dustin Diamond was he was the most annoying human being. That
wasn't Tina Yeathers and Tracy Gold. Are you sure these are labeled correctly?
Let me go back.
All right.
I'll check it.
Because I want to do celebrity boxing with him so bad. Because he won one and they wanted us to do it again. And for some reason it fell apart. I want to do it with
Danny,
him so
you would
bad.
You would murder him.
That's the
point. He's 6'4".
No, the only thing that could happen is you would try to punch him in the stomach and your fist would be enveloped by a fold.
Oh, is he that fat now?
And then you'd be trying to pull it away and then he could beat on your head.
Has anyone seen his porn movie?
I'm not positive it completely exists.
Oh, really?
He talks about it a lot on the show.
Right, and I've seen clips, but there's nobody doing anything in them.
Oh. He gets called a porn star, and he's like, I am not a porn star. I have appeared in porn.
There is a distinction.
But I am not a star.
God, you put the word gay in front of porn, and I made the same argument many, many times.
Really?
Exactly. I mean, add word gay, same argument, verbatim.
Wow.
This should be an easy
like
segue.
Like a Kimmel's house on a football? Anyway, like on a football Sunday at Kimmel's,
yes,
you've had
right.
this argument?
Yes, I have.
Oprah has mentioned her vajayjay now on like three shows in a row.
Right. Yeah.
And she has this doctor come on and...
Dr. Oz.
Dr. Oz and just...
By yeah. the way, she gets to be filthier on her network mid-morning show than any of us on the radio get to. And Oprah, now everybody, I know, cry me a river, Corolla, but seriously, she's a heavy-set woman of color. The other heavy-set lesbian who does a lot of yapping, who gets to say whatever they want, is Rosie.
Right.
You understand that these people sort of have a free pass because they're protected. They have a sort of protected minority status. So they get to say whatever they want. Old, mean, Republican white dudes like Imus are on a very short leash as far as the FCC goes, whereas Oprah can sit around with Gayle King and wax about her tossing salads and her vajayjays until she's blue in the face, and she gets one big fat pass. And so does Rosie, for that matter.
I kind of feel like they get a few more years of this.
Yeah. I give them until 2011, and then everyone's on equal footing. Yes, because Oprah, after you have $10 billion in the bank, you're no longer a repressed minority.
Right.
Right, but then is she replaced with something?
What do you mean?
Does a new version of her come along to replace the old one?
I will say that while your people may have had some wrongs, or definitely had some wrongs done to them in the past, you currently are filthy rich, and we should not be treating you like you are scrubbing floors right. for $4
right.
an hour.
You're not Jenny from the block.
That's right.
Maybe like a quadriplegic will have a whole show about his snuff films or something.
Right.
And it'll be okay.
Quad will get to say, he'll get to talk to his voice synthesizer, and he'll get to drop F-bombs all day long in prime time.
Yes, it'll be on CBS.
I would watch it.
To be fair to Oprah, she's discussing her vajayjay in a medical context, right?
You know what? That is true.
Okay.
She really
Well, let's hear it.
Is it broken?
But it also goes up vajayjay up the urinary tract.
Vajayjay.
Correction.
Yeah.
That was it.
That's it.
What the hell were they talking about?
I don't even know, but he said vajayjay.
He got it wrong.
He just can't even get it.
Oh, and just to have that audience filled with stooge drones who just clap their flippers together.
Vajayjay, that idiot.
Oprah will just go in there. All she has to do is change her tone, and the audience will just start laughing their asses off. She's like, this weekend, I was with Maya Angelou at a barbecue! And everyone just starts screaming.
Oh,
everyone goes insane.
It.
11 years of love line couldn't get a peep out of one person over there.
Hey, it must have been like Queen Elizabeth, right? Who back when, no matter what, whatever she said, she was responded to positively. And
right.
No,
mm-hmm. She's the queen, man. This is Oprah.
Yeah. This is Oprah.
Yeah.
Did you ever meet her in Chicago, Danny?
I've done the show like 5 times.
You have?
Yeah.
Do you think she would remember you?
You commit enough crimes, you can do Oprah.
How was she in person?
Very, very sweet. We did an episode when Gretchen and I first got married, talking about getting married on the first date.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny because Gretchen was terrified, so Oprah took her by the hand. But everywhere she went, she looked like she was blowing in the wind behind Oprah.
Right, Oprah's 5'9".
Yeah, and was just dragging this little white girl behind her. But she couldn't have been nicer.
Cupid doll to Oprah's rearview mirror.
Now, I'd love to say she was horrible and mean and treated me badly, and she's great.
And how about that part where she had to make a number two and actually defecated into her assistant's hand because she didn't want to
have
a
time.
Conversation? You didn't find that condescending?
No. I thought, what an easy gig.
All right.
That's how Joel does it over at E, right?
Yeah, with Ryan.
Joel.
I hate after.
What are you, a rabbit?
But he loves corn. He loves corn. So it's.
Oh,
okay. Look, I'm too far.
My crush on you is waning every second.
Wow.
Okay.
Let's.
Not really.
Yeah. Another few years, she'll be down to the rank of stalker.
I'm hoping.
Give us one more. Well, then we'll
go to break. This might get you back on track.
Thank you.
Because I have. Okay. I think this commercial will help.
You're not 20 anymore, and women know your performance only goes downhill from here. Maximize your potential. Give your body the ingredients it needs to perform its best and produce more testosterone. Taken just once a day, and in weeks, you'll see your desire, energy, and stamina increase. And if you call now, we'll include an instructional DVD on the female orgasm, a $50 value.
50. Oh, it's worth more than that.
In prison, it's worth several thousand dollars.
Well, usually I pay in fake money because they're fake orgasms. I just use Monopoly money.
Right, I like that.
You have to, yeah, but you spend so much on the games.
Pay those chocolate dollars. This is a herbal extract for women.
No, it's actually for guys. So
this is for guys.
Yeah, the testosterone, and I love how they just go right into insulting you. Mm-hmm. Like basically at 20, it's over, and then from then on, you're screwed. So here's a video and some drugs to help you out.
Yeah,
they don't shop where I shop.
There's a lot of those commercials now for like enhancing your male whatever and the pleasure and weird just look.
What happened to guys? Well, when did so many of us, because I can understand not wanting to do it with the same girl over and over and over, although currently if I had my druthers, I'd take that back.
Sure.
But the idea of so many men not being able to perform just seems impossible to me.
I had about 4 boyfriends in a row that had this problem. I was starting to call myself the Widowmaker.
Really?
I didn't know what, this was like maybe 6 or 7 years ago, several in a row.
Really?
Hold on. For the first week or two.
We need to take a break. Jeez, that's when I'm at the best. I'm downhill after about 4 days.
My legs could be on fire, and I could get an erection.
People get nervous.
Your legs do look on fire with your red skin and the red hair.
We need to take a break. Joel McHale here from Soup. We'll hear the rest of the clips.
I'm glad I perplexed the morning show.
Also figure out what the hell happened with T's run of bad luck there.
Huh? Coincidence.
The limp foursome. Tried to play her golf course.
Yeah.
Couldn't birdie her hole.
Diner Shore.
We'll take ourselves a quick break. I want to hear about these guys and
screw the clips.
I didn't think anybody would care.
Take a quick break. We'll do the clips and tea next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci. Here's a crank call from the Crank Anchor's Vault with Kevin Nealon.
Thank you for calling Babu Theater Company. This is Sotirios. How can I help you?
Hi, Sotirios. I'm calling about lining up some tickets to see your play.
Which day do you want to come?
I'd like to come next week.
Okay.
I'm coming with a group.
And I
need 23 tickets.
Oh, okay.
I'm coming with my OCD support group. How long is the play?
About an hour and a half, 2 hours-ish.
120, that's an even number. Is there any way they could make it like 119 minutes or 121 minutes? I know it sounds crazy, but where would the OCD group? Obsessive compulsive disorder.
I figured that, excuse me, that would be...
We don't, as you can imagine, get out much. Okay, now let's just talk about the characters in the play. There's none named Colin, are there?
No.
Okay, because that would send us through the roof. Okay, and what about every time a character says no? We've got a guy that stands up and spins around.
No, I'm sure Noah is mentioned in the play every now and then, and
he could spin in the aisle.
Yes, he could.
Okay, now is it a problem that Bruce screams astronaut whenever he sees a man with a crew cut?
If it turns out that it will disrupt the rest of the performance, the house manager might ask him to leave.
Right. Oh, I understand. Okay, is it possible that the group can watch the actors wash their feet after the play?
No.
Okay, because the group will bring a tub if necessary. It's like a little wash tub.
No, that won't be necessary. They'll wash their feet when they get home.
Okay. All right. And then one last thing. At the end of the play, they can't bow at the end because George will freak out and throw a shoe at the stage.
That's an on-standing tradition that we have at not only this theater but every theater that the characters do indeed need a bow at the end of the play.
Okay. Maybe they could just sit at the end.
No, that they cannot
do. Like or do a frog stand?
No, I apologize. No.
Okay. All right. Great. And what is your name again?
Sotirios.
Would you be able to change that to Neil?
I will not change my name.
What if we threw an extra $20 in?
No, I won't.
$30?
No.
How about $100?
No, I won't change my name.
Okay. Okay. God, you've been very helpful.
Well, thank you.
Nipolopoulos?
No.
Okay, Stereopoulos. Do you take Discover?
No, we don't. We only take Visa and MasterCard.
I'm sorry then. Well, thank you for your help anyway.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
Kevin Nealon. Little cranky anchors for you.
It was weird. He didn't do any wild character or anything, but the concept of that was brilliant.
His OCD character, very popular. Crank Anchors, back on by popular demand. MTV2 tonight. Speaking of tonight, Joel McHale. And speaking of Joel McHale and tickets to the show, I have a premiere of my movie out here on June 4th. We'll all be there. Danny, Teresa, Bald Brian will not be invited. Oh, just being honest, there's only 415 seats.
Sorry, I've already memorized the movie.
All right. I'll see you there. Joel McHale will be there. It is on the 4th of June, which is a Monday. We have a limited number of tickets to give out to the fans. So, and I say give out, it is free, but you got to go to adamcarolla.com. There's a little box on there. Check it. Give us your information. And hopefully we'll see you.
Where's your lavish after party?
Good question.
In my pants.
You don't even want to see the velvet rope.
No, but it'll be cool. I think Jimmy will be there. Sarah Silverman will be there. Handful of other recognizable types, as well as friends and family and cast and crew and all that good stuff. The movie's good. It's right here in town, and we'll do it on the 4th.
Perfect time for me to see it, too.
Yes.
I'm boxing like crazy. Yeah. This will be really, I'll be way into this.
You'll be fired up. Yeah, it's good, and it'll be a good time for all. Just go to adamcarolla.com and click that box. Joel.
I'll bring Seacrest as my date.
Please. Joel.
I'll need a booster chair.
I know you're horribly jealous.
I love when you're bitter about Seacrest.
No, I love him. He's the one guy we can go after because he makes all the money at the network and does really well.
Yeah, if Joel actually felt this way, he would never say it on the radio. Like, he'd be dead.
Oh, he showed up in his blue DB9 today.
Can I ask you this? Yes, you don't get a British car in blue, by the way.
Oh, I'm sorry.
A British racing green.
Green. But he painted his blue.
Can I ask you this?
Bastard. One more reason to hate him. The Blue Man Group on it. Tell me.
If you want it to be a French-English racing car.
Can I ask this? Ryan Seacrest,
yeah.
Obviously the biggest show in the world, American Idol, and he does a great job on it. But on E, is there a rating spike when Ryan's show comes on E? You know, I mean, because Idol is a lot about Simon, a lot about the singers, right. And he does a good job, but I don't know if people are tuning in to see Ryan Seacrest.
Right. I don't. Well, obviously, it's not close to
the kind of numbers you're pulling.
That's true.
Is that true? How does E! News Daily do these days?
I think it does pretty well. I know that the Daily 10 and News kind of go back and forth with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So we're on once a week, so we do really well.
Mm-hmm.
But The Simple Life and Girls Next Door do better than anything. But they also have million-dollar campaigns behind them. But
sure,
everyone thought that when Girls Next Door came in, everyone thought, oh, all the guys are going to watch it. Hardly any guys watch it. It's women who watch that
show. Really?
Well, it's one of the most popular shows of women.
Yeah, because we're not interested in porn without the nudity.
Yeah.
Porn without the nudity is now dumb chicks texting people on Blackberries and misunderstanding jokes.
It's dinner without the food. Right. It's just something important missing.
And then you throw in an octogenarian who doesn't understand anything anyway.
This is why we have the sound down when we watch porn. We don't want to hear what these chicks have to say.
Right.
Yes, those chicks are amongst the dumbest people on the planet, and if their clothes are going to stay on, the TV's going to stay off.
Yep.
There is a spinoff already, though. It's a new one because they couldn't get enough, called Girls Next Door Bedtime Stories. So another thing to turn the volume down.
What does that entail?
You know, in E! International, they don't blur out anything.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and including
gotta see that.
On Dr. 90210, they don't blur out any of the surgery, and it is intense.
The Girls Next Door Bedtime Stories, I saw a preview. It's just the three chicks on the bed going, once upon a time, there was an old dude with a huge scrotum sack who lived down the hall, and he would get to come in and have horrible sex with three young pretty maidens.
And it would be televised.
and he would be hopped up on peppermint schnapps and Viagra. But they did it, otherwise they'd be thrown out of the castle and forced to live like serfs in small apartments in Van Nuys.
I want to ride the pony, Daddy. What I loved is when they did our show when we did the Playboy Mansion, and their publicist had to pull me aside and say, please, please, don't talk to, I forget which one.
Kendra.
Yes, that's more than the others, because one of them was upset that she'd been left out, and so we had to make an extra effort to include her.
One of them, while we were on the air, was literally texting probably her real boyfriend via the BlackBerry. I just looked out of the corner of my eye while I was interviewing the other one, and she was at the end just filling in.
And then she probably felt left out.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I'm sure she was jealous of the other ones.
You didn't ask me anything.
I had a double whammy with that because it was my 12-year-old daughter, because I've never seen the show. My 12-year-old daughter said, oh, no, that's the stupid one, meaning she's seen it.
Right.
Yeah.
She shouldn't be seeing that, right?
So girls watch The Girls Next Door more than the boys.
Way more.
Well, the smart people watch Joel McHale on The Soup. And let's hear more clips for the smarties in the audience.
Just remember the pro-gene female orgasm thing and the four guys that
had some trouble.
Yeah.
We need to write that down.
Four guys in a row?
I was waiting for that to go away. Well, it started with one. I'll make it quick. We'd been dating for about a month or something, 5 weeks, and then it was for the first time, and there was some trouble. I think he was nervous.
Stage fright. He couldn't achieve.
Yeah, and then I thought, well, maybe that was just a one-time thing, and it took a few times, then he actually went to a therapist. And discussed it.
Oh my God.
Massage therapist?
And she had really good advice. No, an actual therapist. She had a good advice and it cured him. He was cured in one session.
What was the advice?
Okay, I'm going to try to keep it clean.
Okay, so this is a guy who could not achieve an erection.
Yeah.
The first few times.
And it never
times.
Happened to him before. He was very nervous.
Yeah. By the way, not what the ladies want to hear. They want to hear chronic problem. This is the most blood that's ever been in my penis.
I was like, why has this never happened.
Usually I'm a diamond-tipped blade.
Right. Yeah.
I'm the blade they use to cut granite. And now I'm a wet saw down here that cuts tile, granite, and marble. But today, nothing.
A sock with
a tennis ball in it.
I fell 100 feet, and the only thing that stopped me was the rebar that went through my pelvis. And now once in a while.
There's also...
It's you.
Yes.
I think in some ways, it's nothing I did, is it? Right.
You just want to go, yeah.
No, in some ways, totally it's a compliment because if somebody's so worried about impressing you, it's because they like you.
Well, look, their mouth may say it's not you, but their penis begs to differ.
Yeah.
And yes, it was begging, and then it went to therapy.
Well, it was in a kneeling position anyway.
But he was cured in one session.
What did the therapist say?
Well, what she said was, she was like an older lady, an older sex therapist, and she said, take the focus off of it. Don't think about it. And she said, I'm going to keep it clean. She said, just focus on her and do stuff to please her. And then that will take your mind off of your own performance. Mm. And sure enough, it did.
So he just focused on you.
Right.
Which is good advice because you're not going to have any complaints even if there was difficulty in the erection department if you just focused on her.
Right. Was it kind of a crazy stare he gave you the whole time, though?
I wasn't looking at his eyes.
All right.
Mm-hmm. I bet.
All right.
What about the other three eyes?
then it was weird. Then it was. I think it's very common. I think people get nervous.
It's not.
But then I knew how to deal with it.
I'm sorry.
Why would Viagra be this huge multi-million dollar business?
I'm assuming it. I've always assumed it's for old people.
Wrong. Well, here's the thing. It's usually, I could cure it very fast after the first time.
Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on my vajayjay.
Once
is a coincidence. The second is the sort of bizarre happenstance, but four times is a trend, baby.
Four times is dry rot.
I was the widow maker, but by the end, I became like the Florence Nightingale of the flaccid penis. I knew just what to do. How to make the first person feel better, and I could cure it right away.
By the fourth guy, were you like?
I was very concerned.
Is
happened.
All right, so that must have been
doctor.
That must have been a very trying weekend for you, Teresa.
No, but the last the 90. What was that? Do I even want to hear?
No. I just laughed when I suggested all these four guys were on the same Saturday.
That must have been a tough weekend.
The guy I put on the shelf and who's
emergency room.
We'll get to that later, but no trouble. And so I was so relieved. I thought my streak has ended.
Mm-hmm.
No trouble ever.
All right.
Good times.
Interesting.
Sorry, Joe. I don't know.
Okay.
I just don't understand it.
All right. Quickly on Tyra, they had four women on. One was white, one Latina, one black, and the other was pygmy. I'm not sure, but they were looking at silhouettes of different sized women, and they wanted to see how different groups react, and here's how.
So different ethnicities reacting to different shapes.
Or
an overweight woman, right?
And, yeah, you'll be happy to know they picked a white woman who happened to be from the South. So.
Perfect.
Okay. Well, I think the woman on the end over here, she's perfect. That's why everybody wants to be Paris Hilton. Now, the one in the middle, we need to start taking cheeseburgers away from her now and put her on a treadmill, or she's going to end up looking like the one on the end, and we just need to stop her altogether. She shouldn't even go out in public like that. Unless it's a medical condition, then what is the point in her being obese? It's disgusting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
So Tyra now is combining her two loves, which is talking endlessly about racism and then talking endlessly about women and their body image.
Yes.
Now she's combined racists who look at silhouettes of fat people.
I got to give a hand to her this time because it seems like a crazy genius to have just women on criticizing the way women look.
And is there one group, one ethnicity that seems to be more tolerant of overweight women?
I would say the Latina woman was pretty defiant about the size of her booty. Yes, and then at one point in the show, Tyra had a man fondle her booty just to see what he thought of it.
Really?
Of course.
Right.
It wasn't as good of a clip because it was, but in actuality, a PA watched the whole show and I didn't see it.
He grabbed it. He held Tyra's booty.
Yeah, he held on to it, and I think she did pick a gay man in the audience. Of course,
I was about to say he's got to be gay.
Yeah, he was gay.
No, I worked with gay guys who wrangled the juggies for 4 years, and they would always grab them and fondle them, and they would do it in front of me and Jimmy just to screw with us. Yeah, this is what gay guys do. They grab boobies, knowing you can't have any. And they just do it to frustrate you.
There should be a movie about a stylist who realizes he can just do anything.
Who pretends to be gay.
Right.
Yeah, ah. It's sort of like Soul Man, except for, we'll call it Backdoor Man.
Wait a second. Didn't
there's a drink that could sponsor that.
He pretends to be gay, that's right. So that he can, this is good stuff. Right.
Isn't that called Three's Company?
Maybe this is, you're right. But he didn't grab boobies in front of Mr. Furley.
Right.
Yeah, or Larry, better yet. Maybe this is what sent Isaiah Washington over the edge. One too many, when you watch the gay guys, and by the way, the hot chicks, the gay guys are always in wardrobe. And the hot chicks get naked right in front of them.
Yep.
That's the other thing that sends us over the edge. When the hot chick is trying on bikinis or dresses or whatever, and her and the gay guy are in the room, and she's like, could you close the door? Billy, close the door. And they close the door, and then you stand there, and then you hear him giggling. They're getting naked, and he's grabbing boobies.
Yep. Okay. That happens all at E. All Jose, our gay stylist.
Rodney, our gay.
We'll close the curtain around Julianne. I'll be like, all right.
Oh, yeah.
Great.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there's a guy at TV Guide channel who puts, Tanner on my legs, and he goes way up my skirt and rubs the...
Gay guy.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm getting a job at E. I'm going gay, and I'm going to get more ass than any gay man's ever grabbed.
Yeah, but just think about the nightmare I will be when you're trying to dress me.
That's right.
I didn't know. I will be throwing shoes at you.
No problem with erections there. No.
Mr. McHale, how do you dress? To the left? I understand.
All right.
I wish I was big enough to have to make
All right, let's
decision.
Just let's skip the shield unless you want to hear.
Yeah.
All right, let's go right to the simple life. Mm-hmm. And this is the e-cameras happen to leave the microphones on Nicole in Paris as they're having lunch. The cameras, you can't see the camera, so this is a totally candid conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know why we're fighting. I think it's just the tabloids and people making up stupid stories.
I just want to let you know half the things that the tabloids said that I said were not true.
Half.
Yeah. So when I called you the effing C word, I just meant the C word.
C word.
When I watched your tape or put it in at a party,
mm-hmm.
called you a slut.
It was only beta.
I didn't call you a slut.
Right.
It was skank.
Yeah.
Now, do you think that was totally set up?
Yes, of course.
The reason I ask legitimately is I was caught on my own reality show doing something totally real that I didn't want them to capture.
Well, I saw that, and Teresa queried, why would he not know that the mic was off? That's when you told the cameras to stay behind. You had to have a talk with Gretchen in a parking lot or something like that, or talk with somebody on the phone, maybe it was, and you said, this is not for tape. This is not for your personal consumption, but yet you had a lav mic on, and they recorded it.
I don't remember because I've never seen the show, so I don't really remember what part that is, but that's not what I'm referring to.
Oh, it isn't.
Because there is that scene in the parking lot. You're on the phone with Gretchen, and then the crew comes around, and they show this scene, and you say, you better not air this. And I thought, first of all, Danny's been in show business 40 years. He knows when his mic is on. Second of all, you're a producer on the show. You could have had that scene cut.
But he
I could have had anything cut. That, but I decided on that once I'd gone so far not to cut anything.
But didn't you feel that huge bulge of the battery pack in your pants?
I would imagine on whatever scene you're talking about, I've never seen the show. Well, I really don't know what you're talking about.
What scene are you thinking of?
Yeah, and
there's at the Hard Rock, although I was already wasted, I'm pretending I'm not drinking. And so I've told the bartender, when I order cranberry juice, make it a double Kettle One and cranberry juice.
Mm-hmm.
And the cameras are nowhere near me, and it's super loud. I know I've got a mic on, but I kind of have it covered.
Right.
But sure enough, you hear it, and it's legitimate. I think I'm getting away with it, and I'm full-on busted ordering drinks and getting drunk.
And the thing about being mic'd is we all know you can forget about it, as I've learned more than once doing shoots on The Man Show, where they put the lav mic on you with the little battery pack. After about 4 hours, you forget you're wearing the stupid thing. Then at a certain point in the middle of your shoot, you pull the writer side, and you have a little powwow, and you're like, listen, this director does not know a camera lens from his a-hole. We have to take this shoot over because this guy's incompetent. I got more talent in my little pinky than this guy's got in his entire body. Blah, blah, blah. You have about six of those conversations during the shoot. And then a week later when the editor and the director are in the editing bay and they're putting together a string out of all the rough shots.
There it is.
The editor and the director will come say hi and say, and by the way, thanks for the kind words. I just watched the dailies. Yes,
and then you go, but then decided you go like, well, I'm glad it's out. You were horrible.
That's what I did. That's what I tried to
spin
it somehow.
Yes, I once had a sound guy tell me, you know, when you go like this and you put your hand over the mic, it's a pretty good microphone. It's still crystal clear. You have to turn it off.
I have one where they recorded and I was like, geez, what is the deal with women voting?
The same thing with blacks. Very uncomfortable.
All right, last one.
One last one, Joel.
This is E's new show, Sunset Tan. And this little girl comes in and spends $1,300 on a package. And this is the first thing she has done.
What might work better would be the cocktail, which is what Lindsay Lohan does. It's actually where you do the bed and then you do the spray, so it'll help get the most color.
What do you think?
Did you want to get the Lindsay Lohan special?
Yes.
Do you want to look like Lindsay Lohan?
Yes.
How little is that girl?
She's actually not that little. She has a little girl voice.
I don't know. You know what that means.
I want to ride the pony, Daddy.
That means molested, kiddies.
Yeah.
Is that what that means? Oh, I was all behind it.
You sound trapped at the age that you suffered the trauma. And when we did Loveline, we'd say,
You always figured you could figure it out without even hearing.
That would be like Mary, line three, what's your prom? Hello? Oh, molested. One syllable.
And
molested.
Like, no, it wasn't.
Then it'd be like, how old were you? When was it? When was it? And you can tell the difference between molested at 10 and molested at 4. They sound different, just like a 4-year-old sounds different than a 10-year-old. The ones who were molested at a very young age sound very young. You get locked in to the year you were traumatized.
That's bizarre.
It is a weird
and
thing.
Now I feel guilty because I like that little girl voice that girls do sometimes. When
well,
like...
there's a part of it that has to do with sort of pleasing and sexuality and a sort of weird dark side that gets all mixed up in these feelings because they're being molested, but they don't know they're being molested. They sort of like the attention from daddy and it's all left up and weird. So they are better in the sack.
Okay, yeah, but I feel
you got
weird
that to look for too. Look, like you
it.
Do what Teresa's boyfriend shrink says. Just focus on
or
oral.
Something else. Has anybody ever been called daddy while doing it?
Mm-mm.
A girl called me daddy one time and freaked me right out.
Jeez. I mean, you
I mean not by non-family member, if that's what you're asking.
No,
okay, no.
No, my sister. That was
oh, yes, no, yes.
Thing.
Non-family. No, not
daddy. And I went, okay, you got weird stuff going on, lady.
You'd be surprised. Sunset Tan did not go into the kind of deeper problems.
Really?
That girl.
I thought they would try to explore these social ills.
Painting her with tanning spray and then putting her in a tanning bed was a better solution.
Spray over the pain.
Fantastic. All right. Joel McHale, E! The Soup.
10 o'clock.
Tonight, everybody.
I'll
best
see you
show.
At your premiere.
Yes.
June 4th.
That's right. Go to AdamCarolla.com. Thank you, Joel McHale. Let's see. We have Terrence Winter, the writer from The Sopranos, the head writer, the main man, the guy who wrote the last episode. We are going to squeeze him like an orange and see if we can get any juice out. I want to know what's going on for the last two or three episodes.
He must have written the AJ suicide episode.
Right. And there's two more left. Anyway, yikes. The man behind The Sopranos next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Back to The Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci.
So is Florida.
Hot and sticky, like my balls.
Glad you caught that, Alexandra. Very observant. The sacred and the profane.
Isaac Newton invented gravity because some hit him with an apple.
My son curled up on a couch in a fetus position when he should be out banging Chloe.
Humanitis Award? What's that?
Humanitas. For writing themes of socially redeeming.
Ow! Who knows who is Leonardo da Vinci?
Yeah, he wrote the Da Vinci Code.
Well, you know, in a way, it's to be expected with Vito Passon and all that entailed.
But my friends have abandoned me. I've been totally f***ing ostracized.
My cousin Tony, they shot his face away. And I was f***ing prostrate with grief.
Writer for The Sopranos and the new movie Brooklyn Rules.
I don't know if you know this, but the actors, they don't make up what they say.
Terrence Winter on The Adam Carolla Show.
Good to meet you, Terrence.
Nice to meet you, too. I've been a fan of yours since The Man Show and before that.
Wow. Well, thanks. So even when I was swinging a hammer, you're a fan of mine.
Yeah, Madmaster Carpenter. I think you built shells for me once.
I have run into a few people I've worked for throughout my travels.
You and Harrison Ford.
Terrence Winter is obviously a writer for The Sopranos on its sixth season HBO. Two more episodes left. You've come to the right place, by the way, Terrence, because we're all huge fans here.
Oh, good.
And have seen all of your work. You wrote the most recent one where AJ tries to kill himself. And as a writer, I don't think you can do much better than as AJ made his way out to the diving board with the cinder block tied around his ankle. My wife broke into tears.
Wow, that's good. He didn't even get to the board yet.
No. And my wife, you know, talks to the TV set. It's really your mission accomplished as a writer when people are sitting. It's one thing where you're sitting in a theater, but when you're watching TiVo, for Christ's sake, and the kids are crying in the next room, and the dog's licking your foot, and you're crying. Watching it, that is amazing.
That really warms my heart. That's great to hear. I can devastate people all over the country. That was actually hard to even watch while we were shooting. We had crew people crying.
Really?
Doing that, who had read the script and knew how it was going to turn out, that nothing horrible was going to happen.
Right.
But it was just so difficult to watch. I mean, you know, obviously it's a fictional character, but you get so involved in these people's lives. And just watching him in that position, just thinking that it could happen was hard enough.
How does it work? How does the process work? Because... obviously you've written many episodes, 24 to be exact. Mm. You must have a lot of ideas that somebody says to you, no. I mean, you can't write an episode where Tony dies in a carnival accident and have him go, oh, yeah, we're going with that. Somebody has to read
somebody
it.
Somebody leaked the last episode to you?
He died on the zipper.
My favorite ride in the world, by the way.
What has been nixed from some of your scripts?
You know, things like that. Obviously, you can't make huge character choices. You can't kill off people. Somebody actually sent me a spec script once of the show where Carmela feng shui's the house, and then a run of bad luck happens, culminating with AJ getting murdered.
Right.
So, you know, as you don't make these huge series-changing choices. The great thing about the show and the great thing about the creative freedom we have working for HBO is that there's very little, you know, aside from, you know, killing off major characters, there's very little thing that I've pitched that we haven't been able to do.
Mm-hmm.
In the third season, we did an episode about Meadow. Actually, a really another difficult episode to watch where Ralphie kills the stripper and beats her to death.
Mm-hmm.
And that storyline was juxtaposed with...
Was that out in the parking lot?
Yeah, it was behind the Bada Bing.
Mm-hmm.
And the other story was Meadow and her problems with her roommate in mm-hmm. college. And it was sort of the study of these two young women and their... quote-unquote problems, one with real problems, one with not. So we needed a situation where Meadow would have something horrific happen to her.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, something minor, but in her mind it was horrible. So I pitched something that happened to me once. I was on the subway, and there's a homeless woman with a plastic trash bag around her waist as a dress.
Mm-hmm.
And she got up to get off, and the trash bag opened up, and she had stuffed up newspaper up the crack of her butt.
Right.
And I said, well, that was kind of horrible. And David Chase said, that's perfect. Let's use that. And I had been writing for television for years, and nothing like that had ever, you know, I mean, in a million years, you don't think you're actually going to do something like that. And we did it and filmed it, and that's exactly how it went down.
Yeah,
so,
people always talk about how stifling it is for the actors who have the suits from the network up said tookus when they're trying to work. But what about the writers? Those are the people that are really inhibited.
Oh, network TV. I mean, if you live in fear of offending one person, because if that one person happens to buy the product or any product and writes a letter, you get the message down from the studio.
And actually, that's what I have found, though. I'm almost never afraid of groups.
Right.
One guy with a phone number and wants to dial it and make himself known, the one guy.
And suddenly no more albino jokes.
Right.
Or whatever it is.
And that's a world I don't want to live in, by the way.
I can't make fun of Edgar Winter.
That's right.
Why is I don't want to live.
And the thing about The Sopranos is
White Christmas. See, that joke's out.
If you don't offend somebody, if you don't do something that's hard to watch, or difficult to look at or hear, you're not doing your job. It's almost exactly the opposite. The only bad Sopranos episodes are the ones you didn't wince at or didn't hurt a little they were sort of uneventful. No one got killed. Nothing horrible happened.
Did people ever say this to you? Did they ever come to you and say, I really found that difficult to watch?
Absolutely. Well, people swear they're never going to watch the show again.
I wonder when I used to do my reality show, people would come up and say, it's just so hard to watch. And I think, am I a good TV producer making shows that are difficult to watch?
Will you humor me about the AJ thing? Was it a cry for help when he tried to kill himself because the therapist theorized that the rope was too long and he knew it?
Right. Well, and Tony's theory also that he could also just be an idiot. It's hard to say.
But you wrote it.
I did. You know...
He was pretty high when he wrote it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. When I actually did that, my pool was actually only 4 feet. No, the mandate was sort of to write something that was tragic and funny.
You know,
that's what I wanted to do, and that sort of fit the bill. And then it's sort of thinking about, well, what do they have in that house in the pool? And essentially the series sort of started around that pool with the ducks and stuff, and it's what a horrible way to, you know, pay off that pool.
I've read Joe Esterhaus's books, and... by the way, he seems like a dick. But anyway, there's this whole thing about writers not being allowed on the set and not being this and not getting any power at all. Is that true? It seems like you should be the most powerful.
It's not true in television. It's more true in feature films. But it's where I always make the analogy. It's sort of like, basically what we do is we're architects. You design a script. If you were building a house and you had the opportunity to have the architect there with you,
mm-hmm.
wouldn't you know, that would, you would think that would be a good thing, particularly if you're going to start moving walls around and say, you know, at the end of the day, this is not going to work. You know, I'm always amazed when I hear, you know, feature writers say, oh, so great, they actually let me onto the set of my own movie.
Well, the director is like the gay interior designer who has his own ideas of what to do with your structure and doesn't want you to muddy it up.
I've sort of been down that road. Actually, I wrote the movie Get Rich or Die Tryin' for 50 Cent, and my script was a vastly different film.
It changed quite a bit.
Completely. Completely.
Well, that one I can understand.
And much to your chagrin?
Oh, yeah. Very much so.
Well, he had 50 die in the end.
Yeah, I mean, look, the way the feature world works oftentimes is Terrence Winter, who writes for The Sopranos, is here today, writes Get Rich or Die Trying. They pay him for a script, and then it's like driving a car off the lot.
Right.
I can cover it with stripper sprinkles and put 29-inch triple chrome spinners on it.
Absolutely.
And I know in your mind, this is a Ferrari and it should be left this way.
And the
way.
License plate cover still has your dealership name on it.
Right. But I paid for it and I'll do with it what I will.
Exactly.
We need to take a quick break. Terrence Winter here, he wrote the last Sopranos episode. He's written 24 Sopranos episodes. Some of your favorites. I have questions about the last two.
Okay.
It would be horrible radio if you blurted out. No, I would be curious if he wrote either of the last two episodes, especially the finale coming up. We'll take a quick break. We'll get into it with him about that and see if we can squeeze him for any clues as well next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Back to The Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci. Here's a crank call from the Crank Yankers Vault with Jimmy Kimmel.
Good afternoon. How may I help you?
Hi, is this the health spa?
Yes, sir, it is.
Wonderful. My name is Terrence Catheter. I am Mr. T's assistant.
Yes, sir.
And T would like to come in for a massage.
Okay. What time was he
2:30.
Looking for? 2:30. Okay. And the last name you want me to put in here?
T. Mr. T.
You want me to put that down?
Yes. It says his name.
That's cool.
And actually, there are a few things that I just want to tell you about in advance.
Yes, sir.
Just so you're aware of. The masseuse must not call it a massage because Mr. T thinks that's gay sounding. He likes it to be called a rub down.
Rub down, okay.
Yes. Okay, so if he could just work the word rub down in maybe 15 or 20 times during the session, that'd be great.
Okay.
He likes to wear his jewelry during his massage. He doesn't trust people. He had a rough upbringing.
How are we going to be able to massage him if he's not going to take off any of his jewelry?
Well, you'll have to work around it. He considers that his... it's some kind of a symbol. It's a black thing. I don't understand it.
Yeah,
but
it is a symbol.
Yes, it's a symbol of slavery or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Also, do not get oil in his mohawk.
No oil?
If oil touches his mohawk, he will beat the masseuse to a pulp. Okay?
Oh, okay.
Also, don't you and don't anyone on the staff say, I pity the fool to him, because he becomes very angry when he hears that, and he will often beat those around him to a pulp. So if they could skip that, and, call him T. He likes to be called T, not Mr. T. Okay? And the T, by the way, is for ticklish.
Okay.
So Mr. T would like, if you could just put a nice layer at the end of A1 sauce on his body.
Can you hold one moment? Let me get my boss to talk to you. Hold on.
Ernest speaking. May I help you?
Hi there. Are you the manager?
Yes, I am.
Well, first of all, you have a wonderful staff there. Everyone's been very nice.
Thank you.
I'm trying to arrange a massage for Mr. T. I'm his assistant, Terrence.
Yes.
And I just want to make sure that everything's in order.
Like
for his
rub
visit.
Down, not massage. No,
yes,
all in the mohawk.
Yes, no oil
call
in the mohawk.
Him T.
Call him T, and also he'd like to be rubbed down with A1 steak sauce.
There's A1 steak sauce. I cannot buy that.
Okay, what if we were to bring it along?
Sorry, I cannot do that there.
He has had it done in Europe, and I didn't know if you did this over here. Okay, if you could just follow all these rules, it would be amazing.
Well, it won't be no problem following all these rules, except for the A1 steak sauce.
Except for the steak sauce.
Right.
But please, everything else must be followed exactly as I've given them to you, or else he will beat people to a pulp. He's a little bit crazy. So
am I, so...
Yes,
one
good.
Brother to another, brother.
Excellent, excellent.
Okay.
And Mr. T is looking forward to seeing you tomorrow, brother.
Okay, Terrence.
Okay, and there's just one more thing. I mean, I know I don't have to mention this, but I feel like I must just to be careful. Please ask the masseuse not to go anywhere near his penis. He will beat him to an absolute pulp.
Sir, first of all, we don't do that, okay?
Excellent.
Okay, this is Professor Summer.
Excellent.
Okay.
Okay, thank you so much. You've been very nice.
Uh-huh.
And we'll see you tomorrow.
I'll be here.
Okay, tee it up.
Bye.
Bye.
We found through doing millions of crank calls that if you do a gay voice, you can call. Jimmy would just call any restaurant, any business of any kind, and he'd be like, I'm Lyndon Johnson's assistant, and he'd like to come into your place, and they'd be like, what can we do? They'd sign off immediately. Just call as somebody. You should call as your own assistant, by the way. That's just good. Do that. They'd probably be good enough.
Terrence, I've
done it. Terrence Winter, you've called as your own assistant?
I've just called as somebody else making arrangements for Danny Bonaducci.
Smart.
Thinking that it would get me a little something that I couldn't get.
I wonder
saying,
how
it's
you
me,
sound
Bonaducci.
Doing a fake voice.
Well, I haven't always sounded like this. I've sounded a little something like this.
Hi, I'm Sheila. I'm Mr. Bonaducci's personal assistant. I'm a 23-year-old buxom attractive blonde from the Netherlands.
I used to do this.
Mr. Bonaducci's going to need smoke blown into his face while he eats. A lot of folks don't like smoking while they're eating. Bonaducci doesn't like to not smoke while he's eating.
Right. I used to do a bit. It's actually in my book. Once I was all washed up, I still wanted to get into places where people that weren't washed up got into. So I would call whatever hip nightclub it was, and I would say, hi, I'm so-and-so from the Tonight Show, and two of our guests are coming in tonight. We did this funny bit. We have Mick Jagger from the Rolling Stones and Danny Bonaducci. You might remember me. He was on the Partridge Family. It was really funny. They did this funny skit together, and they're going to come in.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd now be with Mick Jagger, and they'd call from the Tonight Show.
And you just arrive
and
first.
And I'd walk it up, and I'd go, is Mick here yet? And they'd say, no, right this way, and whisk me right in. And then finally one day, sure enough, he was there.
Wow.
Took me right to his table and sat me down, and I just stared at him. And when the major went away, I told him. And he didn't, I thought he'd crack up. He just called me cheeky and asked me to go away.
That was it.
Yeah. So, he's right here waiting for you and took me to his table.
Terrence Winter, speaking of Terrence, we decided to play that one because Terrence catheter.
Not many people know I used to be Mr. T's assistant. Right. So
is there anything wrong with you?
The
reason I ask is I think there must be something really wrong with the guy that wrote Seven. And some of your scenes are that gnarly. And I'm wondering, somewhere deep in the recesses of your mind,
probably.
How do you imagine
nobody
stuff?
Ever asked me, or nobody ever accused me of that for like the Xena Warrior Princesses I wrote and the
Sister
episodes. You know, nobody ever said, are you channeling twin black teenage girls?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's funny. When you get to the violent stuff, people automatically assume, God, where is this coming from? But, you know, you sort of put, and not to suggest that there isn't something wrong with me or that I don't have a horrible dark side.
Clearly, there's something wrong with you.
Suddenly,
what is wrong with you?
But you're a writer. It's like, it's like when you're acting, you're not clearly, Tony Soprano's not Tony Soprano. I mean,
you certainly have to take yourself to a dark place to put yourself in that mindset. But, at the end of the day, you turn it off, hopefully.
So you tap into a dark part of yourself, which is very brilliant in your case.
Well, thanks.
Terrence Winter, by the way, is our guest. He wrote, the last episode we all saw on The Sopranos and 24 other ones.
Right, it's probably the best show on TV.
I would certainly...
Probably.
Certainly say it is definitely. And, I feel, I really do feel, though... and please take this in spirit, which is intended.
That doesn't mean anything.
All right, I know.
You're about to be insulted. Yeah. Yeah. Just now, in case you didn't.
All due respect, but now it's over.
The network, you're just hamstrung on a network. I mean, the language, the content, it is so difficult to write for prime time. You know, to write a sitcom on ABC at 8 o'clock, I mean, imagine... First off, all the chefs that are ruining the stew, everybody in there second. I mean, as far as creativity goes, when you do it, when you collaborate, it's great. But when you do it with a small army of idiots, it is a disaster. It's an abortion. And everyone has to weigh in from the sponsors to the suits.
I mean, it ultimately is. It's is the lowest common denominator that you're appealing to. They live in fear of, you know, if anybody doesn't understand the joke,
right.
God forbid you, like we said before, offend anybody.
It just must be joyous as a writer to experience the freedom, the open water of writing on HBO, and especially for a show like The Sopranos.
It absolutely is. And, you know, and it's not so much the language and the freedom that you have to depict violence
right.
or nudity. It's the way you tell a story. And it's
right.
you don't have to pander to people. You don't have to talk right. down to your audience. You can respect people. Not everybody has to get everything we
right.
say.
Yeah, no Yates and Sister Sister.
Yeah, not, well, that was that one episode. But, you know, you just write the show you want to write and treat the audience with respect, and people will find it. And
right.
and that's okay if not everybody gets every joke. I'd rather write a joke that five people find hilariously funny than just some, you know, homogenized crap that is neither here nor there.
No, five really, that Oscar Wilde and his four buddies
those guys,
found
yes,
brilliant.
Tittering.
That would be worth doing.
Right.
Right.
I assume gay buddies, but yes.
Your
I'm going to go with butt buddies.
As long as they're
four
fine.
Buddies. Yeah.
Well, that whole Vito storyline was for Oscar Wilde.
Oh, that was my favorite.
Was that you? Gay Vito?
Part of yeah,
Johnny Cakes?
That was
big
brilliant.
Dark. Actually, that whole storyline was proposed by Joe Ganniscoli. Years ago, he had given us a book that he read about a mobster, a heavyset mobster who was gay.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, if you guys, this is brilliant.
So
you know,
the actor who played yeah, Gay Vito
in a very minor
it.
Role.
He told us that. I just
yeah,
didn't believe him.
Absolutely true. But he gave us the book and he said, you know, I would be willing to do this if you ever want to do this with my character.
Wow.
A year and a half later, we started kicking it around in the writer's room. And I called him and I said, remember the thing he told us with the gay mobster, are you still okay with that? He said, absolutely. So I wrote the script where we catch him with the security guard, going down on the
right.
security guard.
Yeah.
So Joe got the script and he called me up and he said, listen, you know, when I said I was willing to be gay, I kind of thought that I would be the guy getting...
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I said, well, it's, you know, it doesn't work that way, so are you still okay with this? He said, yeah, all right, whatever. And it turned out to be the smartest thing he ever did because he went from a really minor role to a really significant role on the show, and he was terrific and, you know,
yeah,
really
that,
actually courageous because this guy had his balls broken all over New York.
I mean, I'm
just,
sure. Oh, yeah.
And could
oh,
not
yeah.
walk down the street without
all,
guys.
Yeah, I mean, all of that's the nature of the guys who are
sure.
from that area and love that show.
Well, Vinny Pastore played Big Pussy in the first season. There were social clubs that we had heard from people that had pictures of the cast up on their walls, and when it was revealed he was a rat, his face was X'd out.
Right.
So there were guys
yeah.
there who take this way too seriously. So
sure.
Dennis Scully just took all kinds
well,
of
well, what's worse, to be a rat or gay?
A rat.
Yeah, I don't know. That's probably yeah,
I gotta
probably,
go with the rat.
Yeah, probably a rat. Yeah, rat is absolute grounds for death. Gay,
no,
you might, if you're earning money and you're gay, you might be able to.
Yeah,
Vito was a good earner.
He was. That's what Tony was in such a dilemma.
I don't know about the ramifications of being a gay mafioso, but I do know that if you're a rat, torture is involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is true.
You know,
yeah.
That's, there's no, from what I understand, in the world of crime, there's nothing worse than a rat.
Mm-hmm. But then you combine them, you get your gay rat bottom.
Wow.
Now we got problems.
Sometimes
people.
Your mind just goes to a place that even mine can't go.
Terrence, are you from New York?
I'm from Brooklyn.
And yeah, you've got a new movie?
Brooklyn Rules.
About Brooklyn.
Yeah, absolutely. It's about me and my two best friends growing up in Brooklyn in the 80s. It's probably 60 to 70% autobiographical, and it veers into some fiction. But it is sort of a mob backdrop. And basically, if you like The Sopranos, you like Goodfellas, you like A Bronx Tale, you will love this movie. Alec Baldwin stars in it with Freddie Prinze Jr., Scott Kahn, who's James Kahn's son, Jerry Ferrara from Entourage, Mia Savari,
yeah.
Turtle.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's great. We've shot it in Brooklyn, directed by Michael Corenti. Like I said before about the you know experiences with feature directors, Michael, absolutely terrific to work with. I was on the set for the entire shoot with him.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely shot the script we wrote, and I mean, it shows. I mean, the movie is really fun. And
we talked about it in the last break that a lot of directors don't want the writer hovering around.
Right.
I just went through this experience less than a year ago, and I couldn't imagine doing it any other way.
Right.
I mean, nobody
well,
knows. Yeah, I co-wrote the movie I was in and sort of backseat directed it, too. Mm-hmm. And I think the director was glad to have the guys that wrote the movie there explaining.
Sure.
There's many
I mean,
different
if
ways
if you're
things
not
can
intrusive
be interpreted.
And you're not a pain in the ass. I mean, you know, it starts with the writing. And what you have to remember as a writer, it doesn't end there. It's a big difference between writing a script and making a film. So you have to be willing to adapt and change, you know, when circumstances dictate that.
Right,
right.
But if you approach it that way, it's a great collaboration. And sometimes it's hard for somebody just to interpret exactly what you were going for just by reading a scene. And to have you there and to talk to the actors if need be and talk to the director, in a perfect world, that's the way to do it.
Well, this movie is out today in limited release, and the best way to find it is how, Terrence?
Moviephone.com, one of those places. I know in L.A. it's playing at the Sunset 5. It's also in Santa Monica. It's in Pasadena. Go on to Fandango or Moviephone and type it in, Brooklyn Rules.
Well, lastly, and because I promised it before we went to break, did you write either of the last two episodes that will air? Not this week, but the week after that.
I did not. I was certainly part of the story process in coming up with what happens in the last two.
You know exactly what went on?
I do. Mm-hmm. I was there when we shot them, and David Chase and Matt Weiner wrote next week's episode, and David Chase wrote and directed the last episode.
Interesting, and obviously you can't get into specifics, but I heard from reviewers who previewed, I guess, the last episode that it is extraordinary and shocking and all the above. Is it? So, again, I know you can only say so much, but some shows end, they just end. And others end like, oh, my God. Are we going out with a bang, or are we just going to quietly go off into the sunset?
Both of those.
That is a non-answer, my friend.
A total non-answer.
I really can't say, and you really don't want to know. You've only got a couple weeks to wait, and, just let it happen. Let it play out.
And
I promise you it's a great episode. I promise you'll be satisfied.
All right. The very condescending Terrence Winter tells me what I don't know. Perhaps we could pick out what I'm going to eat tonight, Terrence. Terrence Winter, a pleasure. Come back anytime.
Thank you very
Brooklyn
much.
Brooklyn Rules in theaters, limited release as we speak. Coming up next, Gay Walking. Gay board op bill, pre-op board op bill went out. He talked to the gays. We will guess their answers and wager real money on it next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci. Last weekend was the Long Beach Gay Pride Parade, and we sent Gay Bill the board op out there to ask gay men questions that every straight man should know the answer to. It's Gay Walking on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yes. A tip of the cap to Jay Leno and his jaywalking goes out and asks stupid questions to stupid people. We do the same, except for we do it with the gays. Mm-hmm. Now, what do the gays know about the straight life? Only board op Bill knows. Teresa, growing up in the San Francisco area, was on quite a tear, winning the first two or three competitions. Danny then caught up, but I do believe the Ace Man won the last two.
I think the last one, for sure.
Last one.
It was a three-way tie. That's right. I got into a two-way tie with Danny 3 weeks ago, and Danny won that one. Last week, a three-way tie, and I won that one. So, brace yourselves for another exciting episode of Gay Walking.
Gay Walking. Gay. Bill wants to know if you know all the things straight guys should know. You're homosexuals. It's time for gay.
Laugh every time I hear that. Little Spandau Ballet for you, kiddies. All right. Well, cry me a river. I have $200 bills.
Cry me a river. I have change.
Oh, ooh. No. All right. I got my money out. T?
Yep, right here with my 20.
All right. Everyone's got their 20s out. That's what we're wagering. We'll start with our first question.
If you go to a Kragen store, what are you buying?
Kragen.
He knows it.
Kragen Auto Parts. Yeah. See, it's always tough. Now, we weed out the joke answers because it's easy to just make a silly joke. So
yeah, is Craig in or out?
Right.
We don't need that.
No, we don't, but that was good. Why can't you be that funny when you're trying to be funny?
It's a good point.
Yeah, your hypothetical funny is better than your intentional funny.
Maybe if I just try to think in those terms, it'll help me?
That wasn't funny. Danny?
Yeah. Don't think about anything.
Does he know what a Kragen store is?
He does, in fact, know that he will say car parts. Yeah, he'll say car parts.
I agree, but there's a part of me wants to take an early lead and a chance. I'm going to agree. I'm going to say he knows.
We all agree.
We all agree.
If you go to a Kragen store, what are you buying?
Pots. A pans.
Oh, man. I thought he's a New Yorker was saying parts.
Me too.
Pots?
I'm too close to the gaze. I don't know how to play this game anymore.
So you know how I play? I play if I know.
Oh.
Because I know what a girl knows about sports.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Sports, all that stuff. I play if I know, then the gay guy knows.
Pots?
Pots.
All right, we're all 0-for-1 in the gay department.
And then I sleep with a boy.
Let's
helps motivate me.
Yes, it's called research. He's not gay.
Right.
Next question.
In NASCAR, what does the checkered flag signify?
T, what do you think?
Danny, I defer to you.
Well, if you're waving it, it means you've won the race. If it's hanging out of your back pocket, it means you have something done with your little finger.
Right. Yes.
I'm going to go, it means the checkered flag means the race is over.
Does he know that?
Yes. Yes, he does.
Who doesn't know that?
Yeah.
I mean, if you ask what the green flag signifies, that's the beginning of the race.
See, I wouldn't have known that.
Right. But the checkered, I think he knows that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go for the early lead and say he doesn't.
So Danny and I say he does know.
Everybody
Teresa
knows.
Says no. Does she go 1-1? Do we go 1-1? Let's find out.
In NASCAR, what does the checkered flag signify?
Go.
Oh,
sweet.
Oh, my God.
Damn you, gays.
I'm back.
What's wrong with you people?
I am back, gays.
Is this gay walking or tard talking?
This is tard talking.
Let's keep it
you
moving.
You mock me, you gays.
Yeah.
But I'll have my day. Oh, yes.
When?
I'll bide my time. You can't say when you're going to have your day. I'll tell you when the gays least expect it.
Yeah,
I'll sneak up from behind.
Not
like
only
a thief and then... wait a minute.
He have his day, but you don't get to know when. But also every dog will have his day.
That's
and
true.
You don't get to know when that is.
Because I'll tell you something my grandfather told me many years ago. Gay revenge is a dish best served cold. Or did he say a new broom sweeps clean? Either way, that's what I heard.
Brian said a glass of orange juice is like a day without gays. I'm pretty sure she said that.
All right, so me and the Dooch are 0-2. The checkered
she's
flag.
She's 0-1. Teresa's 0-1.
And you are 1-1.
No, I think I got the first one wrong.
Yeah, she's got one.
Yes.
Yeah, I've got one.
Right.
And we've got none.
Yeah.
Right. I'm sorry. Yes, 0-1. All right. So let's move ahead.
Name one song by Ted Nugent.
Ugh. Danny?
Good question.
Why does everybody keep doing that?
I don't know. It helps me.
Play Cat's Catch Fever. Everybody knows.
Mm-hmm. Stranglehold.
No, he won't know.
I'm going to say it's one of those things where he doesn't know, even though he has a lot of... Well, T, you tell me, because I'm trying to strategically place
my
answer.
The only song I know of his is Cat Scratch Fever.
Mm-hmm.
And that took me a minute to recall from my long-term memory.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy answers wrong and fast.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point.
Could be a new guy, though.
It's the same guy.
What do you think, T?
Couldn't be.
I'm going to say he doesn't know.
So two dozens. Can I cat scratch my way back into a tie with Teresa? Yes, the Motor City Madman is not, he doesn't sing It's Raining Men. On the other hand, he rarely wears a shirt on stage.
Right.
Swings that axe.
He's
like
9,000 in gay years.
Yeah, that's
they
true.
They don't care about him.
Yeah.
I'm going to say he does know one Ted Nugent song just to see if I can make it back in. So two no-nos, one does know. That's me. Let's go.
Name one song by Ted Nugent.
It's Cat Scratch Fever.
Yes! The Love Affair is back on. It is back on, gays.
Why did I doubt myself?
Hey, why did that guy do an impression of me?
The Any of the gays listening, I am so sorry for what I said about your people just moments ago. The love affair continues. Yeah. No, no more. Revenge is off. I've called off the gay hit.
We're tied, you and I.
All right. So I have no idea what the score is other than we're tied.
We're tied.
I've got
with
none.
One each, and he's got none.
Yep. Danny Owen, three?
Yep.
You better go recalibrate your gay compass, my friend. Yeah. Your bedazzler's spinning like a dreidel.
I'm having a rough day all the way around.
Your bedazzler can't find true gay north anymore. All right, let's keep going.
If you're an angler, what are you doing?
An angler.
Danny?
Yeah, he knows. He knows you're fishing.
Doesn't know.
I go doesn't know either. Two doesn't know, one knows. That's Danny.
By the way, after yesterday losing this 20, just set it on fire. What do I care?
Should we tear? If you win, do we have to give 20 to Gretchen?
Gretchen gets half of his winnings.
Half? If I win and I get this 20, she gets $47 of it.
Are you going to throw gay walking? Because you're not doing
feels
well.
Feels like he's throwing it. Yeah. He's 0-3.
Lawyer-wise, I was killed, and then Gretchen showed her true character and was wonderful and beautiful and made me able to live in a house.
Good times. Good. All right, angler. Danny says he does know what an angler is. T and I says he doesn't. Let's hear it.
If you're an angler, what are you doing?
Riding a pony.
Sweet.
Oh, Gays. I am so in love with you right now, Gays.
I want to ride the pony, Daddy.
Wine coolers for everyone. That's
he's
right.
Not
on
even
me.
Trying though. Although he got catched.
Yeah.
All right. So T.
Two. We're tied. Two and two.
What the hell are we? We're 2-2.
Mm-hmm.
Danny.
Ofer.
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 Ofer. Should we enact the slaughter rule?
It's close.
It's getting embarrassing, Bonaducci.
What's the slaughter rule? Like if you're losing by too much, you call
the
door.
The fact you know the slaughter rule.
Makes you gay, yes. That means you take your cleats off, turn your windbreaker inside out, and ride the pine.
Okay, if I show up in cleats
you
and
understand
a windbreaker,
any of that?
They shoot me right now.
Mercy rule?
All right, no. Let's see. Danny 0 for 4. Let the kid go 0 and 5. What do I care? Let's do our next one.
Who is currently baseball's all-time home run record holder? Not a doubt in the world.
You don't think he knows this?
No.
Everybody knows this.
I don't know it. Is it Barry Bonds?
No, not yet.
Does Barry Bonds play baseball?
Yes.
Okay.
Wow.
Bo knows.
So you say no.
I
Danny
don't know.
Says no. T?
What are you saying? I don't know.
Well, Hank Aaron's nickname was Hammerin'. Oh, the word hammer in there. I feel like any brother named Hammer the gays should know about. But I'm going to say no if and we're talking to the same gay guy.
I think I'm going to also say no.
All right, T and I both say no. Danny says no. We all say no. Let's hear it.
Who is currently baseball's all-time home run record holder?
Hank Aaron.
Oh! God, I could have won it! It's off, gays. The love affair is officially over. Finish that cooler and find your way to the door. I'm flicking the lights on and off at the gay bar. Time to leave, fellas. Pack up the Miata and head to Tinseltown. It's over. It's over. Do you understand me? I thought we had a relationship. I don't know what that was. You understand? I thought there was something between us, and now this. Blindsided with a flounder. I feel that's right. I feel like I've been raped. That's what that was.
Yeah.
No. I mean, yes. Metaphorically, yes. Spiritually raped. I need a shower for what you guys just did to me. Well, T.
We're tied.
We're 2-3. Pathetic. Bonaducci. 0-5.
No phone today.
You lost your, I would say your mojo. Is there a hojo?
You lost your hojo. T.
Yeah.
It's time for us to finish with a tiebreaker.
I need this. I've got nothing in my life.
All right.
I need to win.
I won last week. Let's try it again.
Tiebreaker questions. Heads or tails?
Ugh.
Heads or tails?
Ugh.
Now, the last time we did this, I got bit by the Bonaducci snake because he went with tails. I went with heads, and I lost. Because I'm a gentleman, I will let you go first, and I will pick the opposite of what you pick.
I'll take heads.
Heads? Interesting, because the last time the douche said tails, and that was a layup, and as it turns out, he was right. Right. Well, I have no choice, but I'm still glad, and I guess you could make an argument for heads or tails. Right. T has heads, I have tails. How say you, gays?
Tiebreaker questions. Heads or tails?
Heads, actually. On today's heads.
Yeah. Oh, yes. All right, you know what? I can't even look at you guys.
But you know what? Can you look at that 100? Break it into a few 20s.
You make me sick.
Gaywalking. Because you are gay.
La, 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 la. Let me say this, gays. Don't try to apologize to me today. I'm in no mood.
When are they going
to
have their day?
It's a long weekend. Tuesday, maybe the healing could begin. Maybe. After you guys go home and take a good long look in the gay mirror, all right? It's gay gut check time. Because I'm tired. Wow. This is nothing short of an attack by the gay community. This
upon
is betrayal.
You personally?
Yes, because we've done two tiebreakers. I've been involved with two tiebreakers, technically three, but two-way tiebreakers in this. The first time, the douche man went first, and he picked tails. And the gays said it was tails. So the second time it came to heads or tails, I was happy to get tails. And what did they go with? Well, heads. Now, that's vindictive. You understand?
Why are they mad at you?
I'm asking myself that question. That's what I want to know.
All I could think if they were mad at me, which they are not, would be that I buy up some of their best clothes so they can't have them.
Right.
Okay? But other than that, they should love me.
Right.
You're pretty kind to the gay community.
I've been asking myself that question for the last 20 minutes. What is the problem? What is going on? What did I do to offend the gays? Again, you guys owe me an apology. If you want to get Isaac Washington to come by and bring a basket over there, or whatever his name is, if you want him to apologize for me, that's fine. But I'm going to need somebody to apologize to me from the gay community. And again, don't bother over the weekend. I'm doing some soul searching. I suggest you do the same.
Wow.
That's it. Play the outro, Brian.
I did. Oh,
you did?
Oh, here it is.
Gay walking. Because you are gay.
Now I'm in a better mood. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. T.
Huh?
The news?
Sure. Oh, you know what's fun? Trump, normally publicity shy, weighs in on the Rosie Elizabeth.
That little wallflower came out of his hole?
Oh, yeah.
Huh. Be interesting. I don't even know what his voice sounds like. I've seen pictures of the man.
It kind of matches his face a little.
He's one of those, huh?
Yeah, he normally just tilts the hard hat down and gets to work with the skyscrapers. But it's interesting. I want to hear a speaking voice.
Some people that don't know what I look like and hear me on the radio just assume I look like Fred Sanford.
Oh,
swear to God.
I'm coming a little bit. We'll take a quick break. Be back in the news next.
The Bachelor Party.
With shit and guns and fire trucks and hookers and drugs and food.
May 31st at the Key Club in Hollywood.
All the things that make life worth living for.
Danny Bonaducci's Bachelor Party.
I'm going to bone this huge girl. You got to see this.
Featuring Warren. Call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, Missy Warbucks,
yep.
There's the news to do. You know what I hope?
What?
I hope you take your ill-gotten gain.
Yeah.
Your $40 that you made off of Bonaducci and I.
I wish you were dead.
You go out, have a smart cocktail with some of your old friends from San Francisco, and they're tainted. And everyone dies in a Jonestown-like massacre.
Wow.
Okay. Listen, I don't lose easily. I'm a champion.
No, I know. So graceful in defeat as you are in victory.
That's right. So choke on that 20 and give me the news.
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
Unclear who was the victor in the fight that went down Wednesday on The View between Rosie O'Donnell and Elizabeth Hasselbeck. Now, as you may have heard, Donald Trump sort of got caught in the crossfire of that fight. His name came up during it, and in a rare interview he granted with Extra, he gave his opinion on who won that fight. And at the beginning, I'm going to play you just a reminder, a little clip of the fight, and then you'll hear Donald's response.
It's much easier to fight someone like Donald Trump, isn't it? Because he's obnoxious.
Well, I am obnoxious, so in that she's right, I must say. But, you know, Elizabeth is not a very smart person. She's one of the dumber people on television. And on this one, I think Rosie should win, but Rosie's not much herself.
So eloquent.
Did he say anything?
Hey, look, what's he doing developing land? He should be a writer.
Yeah.
Oh, this man needs to put his words down. He's such a load, that guy. Jesus Christ, what a blowhard.
And smoking sucks.
Smoking
the
sucks.
The air right out of your lungs.
Elizabeth Hasselbeck sucks. Rosie sucks. It's too bad when two people are fighting and you hate both of them. Actually, you hate one of them, but the other insulted you
right.
in the course of the fight. Now you're screwed. You have to bash both of them. But what about this? What about the fact that Rosie took yesterday off The View to celebrate her girlfriend's birthday?
Yeah.
Since when do you take a day off your network show to celebrate your girlfriend's birthday when your day ends at 11 a.m.? I want to work on The View because the show starts at 10, which means I would start showing up about 9:57 for makeup, and the show ends at 11. That's the schedule. And I have seen the show enough to know there's not a ton of prep going on before or after the show because Behar croaks out an old joke that she thought of, somebody thought of when they built the first stage, and the rest of them are confused. What? What are we talking about? Who? The governor? Where? So don't tell me there's a bunch of prep. Rosie's probably out of there. I was going to say like a shot, but more like a cannonball. She must be out of there like a cannonball at 11:15 every morning.
Oh, yeah.
Thus, you and your life partner have the entire day to celebrate her birthday.
Yeah. I would think that's a fair assessment, yeah.
I'll meet you at noon for brunch, baby.
Do you think she didn't want to show up back at work the next day?
Well, of course she didn't want to show back at work, but... Look, the news agencies that report this have to report that, not she took the day off for her girlfriend's birthday. You don't take the day off for your girlfriend's birthday, especially when your day ends before noon.
An excellent point.
Honey, sleep in. I'll be back at 11:30 with breakfast in bed.
Now, we just played a public service announcement done by Donald Trump telling you not to smoke or secondhand smoking is bad. That is one of the public service announcements that, Adam, you hate the most. Now, here is a new one from New Jersey Governor John Corzine. He was almost killed in a high-speed car crash back on April 12th. He was in an SUV, which was going about 91 miles per hour. He was not buckled in. Here is his new PSA.
Hello, I'm New Jersey Governor John Corzine, and I should be dead. On April 12th, I was critically injured in a car accident where I lost over half of my blood and broke 15 bones in 18 places. I spent 8 days in intensive care with a ventilator breathing for me. It took an outstanding team of doctors and a series of miracles to save my life when all I needed was a seatbelt. I have to live with my mistake. You don't. Buckle up.
So, first off, how about you apologize for the 700,000 PSAs your city ran on Click It or Ticket before
totally
you decided not to wear your seatbelt, you fat hypocrite? So, obviously, these things have no effect. Why are you doing another one? There's a bell that goes off in your car. I can't make it 8 feet without the loud, audible bell ringing in my car and the red placard that lights up. Hey, if that's not enough for you to put your goddamn seatbelt on, you ain't putting it on.
How do you break 15 bones in 18 places?
I know the human body only has 9 bones, for one, so this man is a liar.
How is that possible?
Well, this has not yet been the subject of a PSA, but maybe it will be worthy one day.
All I hear is the Click It or Ticket out here in Los Angeles. Please, how about a PSA telling pussies it's okay to turn right on a red when there's no traffic coming? Can we move this city along? Or is it just slow it down? 55, alive, arrive, put your seatbelt on. Please, city official pussies, let's get the town moving. Don't worry about people's safety. That's their business. They want secondhand smoke. They want seatbelts. It's their business. It's their business. I don't give a rat's flying ass who kills themselves. I don't care if the guy in front of me is wearing a seatbelt. I care that the guy in front of me is not letting me turn because he doesn't know it's legal to turn right. That's what I care about. Sorry, T.
No problem.
Go ahead.
You know, there's a designer vagina craze, according to the British Medical Journal, and doctors are saying that this should stop and that there's an unrealistic portrayal of the female genitalia in pornography, and it's making women think that their genitalia should look a certain way. And
let's get Ron Jeremy to do a PSA.
What would it say?
They all look the same to me.
Hi, I'm Ron Jeremy. Many of you know me as the hedgehog because I can perform oral on myself. First, talk to your kids. Secondly, ladies, when you're done talking to your kids, you're going to get your vajayjay worked on. Don't bother.
We got our eyes. It or dig it.
We got our eyes closed, but I tell you one thing we can't close. Our nose. And that's where it ends.
Well, according to doctors, quote, there's nothing unusual about protrusion of the labia. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. CNN.
All right, we need to take a break. Good news. Christian, the now 14-year-old comedian, I think he was 12 or 13 last time we talked to him. He was a young comedian we met, at least a year ago here on the program, and we were starved for content. He's back. He has a real gig. He's going to be performing at the, is it the Comedy Store or the Improv? He's going to be at the Improv. So he went from just sort of budding junior high comedian to full-fledged pro. We'll bring him in, catch his update, take a good look at his MILF mom, and do that next on the Adam Carolla Show.
What's up? Jerry Ferrara, a.k.a. Turtle from Entourage, and I listen to Adam Carolla. If you don't, go f*** yourself.
Yes, we were just talking about him. Someone else we were just talking about, Christian, our 14-year-old comedian. I guess he was 13 last time we spoke to Christian. He was a young comedian, called us last year from his home up north, as I recall. He's down here to, he's going to do a set tonight. That's what we call in the business, at the Hollywood Improv, 8 o'clock. Go to improv.com for more information. Christian, good to see you.
It's good to see you.
You're halfway on your way. Traveled with a hot chick. You've probably been drinking all
morning.
That's
his mom.
Oh, sorry.
Your mom? Yes.
Last time I was here, Jeff Ross said she'd be his fluffer, and this time you said it's a, my mom was a MILF. That's, I think, next time you need to take a break, dude. Come on.
Oh, yeah. It's disrespectful. But funny.
Yeah.
And by the way,
okay, stand-up world, kid.
Until you can kick my ass, I get to say whatever I want. You got to get through the douche if you want to get to me.
Unfortunately, that's true, man.
Unless you go around, unless you go the wuss route, which is Brian. Oh, if you go around Brian, we call that the wuss highway. If you go to the right, you have to you have to get through Brian.
This way's the gauntlet.
And getting through Brian is a lot like when a high school football team runs through that paper banner. That's about as much as it slows you down. So, Christian, you and your mom are here. You're going to be making your professional debut tonight at the Improv.
Yeah, that's right.
At 8 o'clock, how long a set are you going to do?
Probably just 10 minutes again, nothing too huge.
10 minutes, and have you been doing open mics and things like that?
When I was in Fresno, there was a guy who saw that I was at the Improv, so he called me over at this bar, and they were paying gigs, and I went to a couple at some bar. They're not doing so much right now, but yeah, so I've done a couple in Fresno.
Does it? Now, when did you become interested in stand-up comedy?
When I was little, I watched a lot of Jim Carrey, and I just loved it. I love making people laugh.
You know you're little now, right?
Yeah. Right.
I know. It's always funny to hear, like, 19-year-olds who are being interviewed on American Idol. Back in the day.
When I was a kid.
Yeah. You mean 16 months ago?
How old are you now? You're
14.
Do you know I was completely washed up by the time I was your age? Do you think you could do that?
Probably not.
Yeah, take some effort, buddy.
Hey, the Dooch has a bachelor party coming up. Christian, you're a little bit too young, but moms, you're just right. Perhaps, hey, everybody! Her son ain't so funny, but her rack. Now that's something to laugh about. You want to talk about a mill? How about we don the big nose and glasses in the whoopee cushion and you head on over to my stage, which is in a van. Shade stage four, stage four. All right, where was it?
Now that's Christian, an Iraq
ready Christian,
to go to
do
war
you have
for
some new material that you're going to be
yes,
working out?
Yes, that's what I wanted to hear.
I have a couple. There's one, this is probably one of my favorites. Not long, but it's true. I read this in the newspaper. There was a priest who was...
Hold on, play the Seinfeld music, right? There we go. priest?
There was a priest who was arrested for molesting some woman doing volunteer work, and the church suspended him with pay, and I read that in the newspaper, and I thought they just must be so excited finally somebody molested a girl. And
yeah.
I'd be far from surprised if he got a raise or something.
That's right.
You know what? I thought you were going to zig and you zagged.
That's right. Yeah. And by the way, the whole suspended with pay, isn't that a vacation? Isn't that what they call a vacation?
It's what I don't. I'm not sure, but
they do that.
He was
thing.
In jail when they gave him pay. He was in prison.
Paid in the joint.
Yeah.
Yes, a breath of fresh air. Finally, the clergy going after something that doesn't have a penis.
Good topical humor,
refreshing.
Christian.
Refreshing. What else you got, Christian?
Well, there's another one. I don't know if you heard about that drink, the cocaine drink.
No. What is this drink?
There's a drink called cocaine.
Oh, yeah. It's an energy drink.
Yeah, an energy drink.
And now, I don't want to screw you up, but if you say the drink, people think it's a mixed drink or something like that. But the energy drink, cocaine.
Like the apple martini.
Right. Yeah.
Well, they actually thought there was cocaine in it, so they, checked, and I had to pull this out of the newspaper to make sure I got the quote exactly right. But when they were looking for the cocaine in there, they said, "We think it is most likely legal in the United States to ship our products." And you better be sure as hell that it's legal if you got a drink called cocaine and you're shipping it across the U.S.
Right. Good call. If it says cocaine on the label, you might want to make sure it's cool inside.
Now, are we going to hear these jokes tonight
at
the improv? Those
are both going to be there tonight. Yeah.
Do you have any relationship humor? I mean, at your age, do you have
so
a girlfriend?
Far, you've got drugs and sex.
Right now, no, I don't.
And let me explain something, Christian.
But
sometimes
he has a priest.
When a mommy and a daddy are very much in love, the daddy has problems showing the mommy he loves her, like what happened with Teresa's last four daddies consecutively. There's a certain physiological change. I don't want to turn this into a biology lesson, but there's a physiological change that happens to a daddy when he's very much in love with mommy. But sometimes he's too in love and he gets a little nervous, especially when he's in love for the first time. Let's say after mommy drank too much Jameson's. Do you know where I'm going here, son?
I think so.
Okay. All right. That's important.
Well, have you kissed a girl?
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. He's got the braces. Does that get in the way?
I wish you weren't a liar.
You know, it's pleasant. The folks that have the braces and the mini rubber bands in their mouth. So it's like, you think if you kiss them and their mouth opens too wide, is it going to slam shut like a mousetrap on your tongue? Do you have the rubber bands in there, too?
I'm not wearing them today, but I do, yeah.
Hot. How about the headset? Nothing turns a lady on.
No, okay. Headgear.
Headset.
Yeah, actually wearing like an orthopedic device on your head.
Well, that combined with his Star Wars t-shirt that he's got on.
Ooh, look out, ladies.
You excited about the big Star Wars convention?
Yeah. That's where all the cool people go, the Star Wars convention.
Well, I'll tell you, the braces, the rubber bands, the Star Wars shirt, and the mom, you're definitely going to be partying in L.A.
Did you ever see that movie, The Aristocrats?
I didn't know.
Okay, you should go see it and then tell that joke. That would kill. Come out of a 14-year-old?
Yes.
That'd kill.
That's a great idea.
Thank you. Mom, rent The Aristocrats.
Done.
Show it to young Christian. You do that, and you do, like, whatever Gilbert Godfrey does on that, you do it, just add 20 minutes to it.
Okay.
All right, do you have one more joke for us before we go to break?
Well, I don't want to give away too much because I don't have a whole lot of new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, there's a lot. There's a couple more new jokes, and if you go, you won't be disappointed.
Oh, teaser. I like that.
Nice.
Just learning the business. Tonight, Hollywood Improv, young Christian. He used the show as a launching pad about a year ago, and his beautiful bosomy mom will be there, fake laughing her ass off. And then we'll see you cats at the Star Wars convention.
That's right.
Are you just participating, or are you going to go?
I'm just going to go. I'm not. You know, I'm just checking out all the stuff that they got there.
Did you get in a lot of fights in school?
No.
And you guys drove out from Fresno, right?
Yeah, we did.
Let me tell you this. I grew up in North Hollywood. I couldn't get a goddamn ride to Van Nuys from my deadbeat parents. If I had said to my parents, if we grew up in Fresno, and I turned to my mom and went, "Hey, I got a plan. How about this weekend we haul it on over to L.A.? You hang out. I'll do a set at the Improv. And then after that, we'll go to the convention center and we'll go to the Star Wars convention."
How would I know that?
Like, hey, is this a joke? Are you high?
How should I know?
I'm not going to give you a ride to the end of the driveway. Are you kidding me?
Now, Mom, on the flip side of that, when I was about 9 or so, I asked my mom for a ride. to a studio, and 3 weeks later, I bought her a house.
See?
That's right. Feathering the nest. We'll take
of
a...
Of course, then it was repossessed, and her son kept going to jail, and it ruined his life. But you have at it.
We're only going to go half that far.
Yeah, she had a good 3 weeks. Yeah. She really did.
Quite a run.
Hollywood Improv tonight, 8 o'clock on improv.com. See Young Christian, the future of comedy, and we'll be back. Well, just enough time to give thanks where thanks are due. First, Joel McHale, The Soup, Friday night.
I am not a porn star. I have appeared in porn.
10 o'clock, Terrence Winter, Brooklyn Rules, limited release today. Also, Christian, 14-year-old comedian tonight, Hollywood Improv. Go support the friends of the show at improv.com, and you can go to adamcarolla.com and come be at the premiere of my movie on June 4th. We'll see you there. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo. You all make me want to puke. All of you.